Support for today's show comes from Talkspace, the online therapy company that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere at any time. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need to. No commutes and no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/friendzone and use code FRIENDZONE to get $10 off, pardon me, $30 off your first month and show your support for the show. Talkspace. It's therapy for how we live today. Okay.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as K Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
What was your reaction to Sheree bringing up your mugshot in tonight's episode?
I really don't care about Sheree bringing up a mugshot. Sheree is trying to... A mugshot does not equal... Anybody can get a mugshot, first of all, for a traffic ticket. A mugshot does not equal 10 years in prison for doing a Ponzi scheme. I ain't spent a day in jail doing nothing, honey, okay? So you got 10 years in prison. You sure won't walk around here being nice to no damn body. You got 10 years with the feds, honey. That's a whole nother situation. And by the way, Sheree can be worried about her own mugshot. Her son got a mugshot and her man got a mugshot. So please don't call out no mugshots now. Let's be for real. She had hers expunged. She was stealing out the store, remember?
Another one. I think that, you know, I'm finding some sort of frequency and vibration
The
idea of, you know, releasing these mantras for the month of January at least. The clips that we release this month will all include a mantra for you to, you know, carry out through the rest of your 2018.
Not this spiritual
and
integration.
So that's right. You know, listen, all walks of life. So I just want to say in 2018, let them know, worry about your own mugshot.
Worry about your own mugshot.
Everybody got their own stuff. Everybody got their own baggage. Bag lady, you gonna hurt your back and her back been bent. Okay? So everybody got their own mugshot. You worry about your own mugshot in 2018. And with that being said and done, most importantly, welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the Hades Sheol hell wants a musty brain?
Wants a musty brain.
Y'all hear them crickets? Do you see the tumbleweed rolling across the podcast? Nobody wants a musty brain. So that's what we all doing here. Welcome to the Friend Zone. Hey, friend.
Hey, Dustin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
Listen, ain't nothing like a weekend, okay? My weekend was absolutely great.
I see it in your face.
It just was great. I went to some fantastic restaurants and had some great dining experiences. It was a great weekend.
What did you have?
What didn't I have is a question.
Delicioso.
Y'all starting early.
yes, y'all. But anyway, so that my weekend was great, though. Spent with loved ones, friends, family, fun, all those sorts of things.
Yay.
Got a lot of work done. It was a great weekend.
What about you, Asante?
My weekend was good. I actually got really high and went to Atlanta with Crystal.
Wow. Oh.
Shout out to Sharielle. It was her birthday. Happy birthday, Sharielle. We went down to celebrate. It was amazing.
That's why you were there. I don't know why I thought it was a Reed live show.
Nope. It was just us kicking it and
so cute.
You know, having fun in the city. It was a good ass time. Got to go to the strip club. Got to go to Waffle House.
Waffle House.
So, you know, I got to do my little check-ins while I was in the A. So it was great. It's always great going home.
Cute.
A little quick in-and-out trip, but it was cold as hell. So I'm glad to be back in New York, which is wildly warm.
Heat wave at 40 degrees.
Okay. How was your weekend, friend?
It was cool. I spent most of it with my grandmother. Just making sure she's good. That's sort of our routine now, if I can squeeze in a Saturday and Sunday. I told y'all I'm going to be laying low this month, setting my ducks in a row, and then also been focusing a lot on, I told you guys last week that I have a bit of a pinched nerve.
Yeah.
So I've been getting that figured out, been going to the chiropractor. I'm now officially adulting because I have a chiropractic massage once a week.
Wow. Damn. Friend.
That's how mandatory
real shit has gotten, but I get it. It's my fault. I didn't, you know, so many things to think about throughout the year. I did not pay attention to my spinal hygiene, which is just something, honestly, I can say that I totally let slip under my radar. And I'm paying for it, but it's okay because I caught everything early and getting it figured out. Make sure I'm moving properly. The chiro is dope. It's kind of scary though when they crack you up. You're just like, woo, okay.
You trying to kill me.
Okay.
But it's good.
Right.
Yeah, they took x-rays of my spine and just showed me exactly what's happening. It's actually stemming from a 20-year-old neck injury.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Man, what?
A 20-year-old neck injury that I guess I didn't realize was that deep at the time. And y'all, make sure you're taking care of your body. Make sure you're mindful of every little ache and every little pain and anything that shoots up and any toe that hurts and finger that goes tingly and numb. Get all of that checked out.
Don't tell
you,
me that.
Yeah, you know how you could put little aches kind of to the back burner, like, oh, I'll check on that one day, or you kind of get used to it because you've had it for a while. Don't do that.
Yes.
This year, we're not doing none of that.
Don't do
no.
that.
Please,
absolutely
none
not.
None of that. Get
leaving
it checked
all the
out.
Pain in 2017.
For real.
No more pain.
Hey, no more pain.
For real, though. So
no
get all that checked out.
Shots.
Y'all ready to jump into this week's episode?
Oh, let's do it.
Like a trampoline.
So on last week's episode, we were discussing ditch and replace, which is what we... I can't even speak English today. I'm like, what we were...
I'll do it for you. It's what we doing with niggas. Ditching and replacing them.
No. No. No, we were leaving things behind in 2017, but also explaining what we want to replace it with. Is that going to be our new thing? So
no.
So a lot of you had a lot to say, which was actually really hilarious. So Asante, who stood out to you?
Shout out to Jada in the emails. She wrote into the show with Artists to Watch. Hey friends, so I listened to your Ditch and Replace episode. I totally agree with your points about music videos and channels like MTV and VH1. I remember when I used to wake up for school in the morning and turn on MTV to start my day with some jams. And I'm only 23 of 2017. Anyway. Anyway, I can say I haven't been wowed by a music video in a while. But recently I've listened to an artist named, I am hoping I can say this artist name right, Che Lingo or Chi Lingo. It's C-H-E. So I want to say it's Che Lingo.
Che, yeah.
But his song Black Girl Magic is a jam. I also like the video because he's displaying the different shades, personalities, and beauties of brown skin. I also like how black children are being incorporated in the styling and braiding of our hair as kids. It just reminded me of early 2000 videos where black artists were sitting on the stoop getting their hair braided and showing their humility. It was just kind of like the diamond in the rough being portrayed for me, and this song makes me feel so good about myself as a black woman. This is especially hard to find in music these days. Thanks for reading. So I just wanted to shout Jada out because that song is dope, Black Girl Magic. And I just think that it's ditch and replace. We got to get rid of some of this like miscellaneous ass content on MTV, like ridiculousness or whatever these shows are.
And they've been around for a minute.
Give us some more music. What did you find, friend?
I'm actually dipping into Dustin's neck of the woods.
You know, it's all you always welcome.
In the Twitter streets.
She got a license, y'all.
Seymour Santos said, I didn't know that Hey Fran Hey was hip to Death Note. And I just got mad hype for nothing. But was that when we were talking about the reboot?
Yes,
because the reboot
the Death Note
on
movie
Netflix,
was so awful.
First of all, problem number one, where were the lead Asian actors? Where? How do you just not include them at all in their storyline? And it was, I think, in a high school and everyone was white. I was like, what is this? It didn't even fit the vibe.
And then L
Death
was
Note
black.
Is like emo. I know L was black, but that was probably the only cool part. But, you know, I just thought I wasn't a fan of the reboot because I love Death Note. It's actually the only anime that I can refer to because it's the only one I've ever watched. In its entirety, it's like 90-something million episodes.
It's long as hell,
as
but
long
it's,
as hell
it's riveting.
Yo, y'all gotta watch it. Shout out to Claude. He put me on back in like 2010 or something.
I remember
crazy.
You told me about it forever
remember
ago.
Back in the day.
You told me about it a long ass time ago. I was like, friend, what? Right? Anime? What? I gotta watch this. Shit.
So good though. If you haven't checked it out, where can people check out Death Note right now?
Well, I am a nerd, so I can find it on Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll?
Crunchyroll is a website. You can watch all sorts of anime on there. And I think they have probably all the seasons of Death Note on there. Because I watched all the seasons of Bleach. They got Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, all those on there. So
I need to sign up. So check it out on Crunchyroll. You trust me. You won't regret it. It's so good.
It's good.
Not to be confused with Crunchy Black from 3-6 Mafia.
So, Dustin.
Yes.
What'd you find in the Twitter streets?
Well, the streets have been really packed, wall to wall and back to back. Word to Johnny Taylor. shout out to Simply Ambi, Amber Lynn, who tweeted, "It was me. I am the tea girl." LOL.
Yes.
So per our episode last week,
thanks,
and per my
Amber.
Inability to talk this week,
I still use those reusable tea bags.
That's right. She was the girl with the tea. So we didn't find you. I also would like to give a shout out to at Chrissy Taught Me, Liddy Schmidt, who said that awkward moment when I'm literally scalloping my edges while listening to look at Dustin on Friends on Pod, laughing my ass off the shameful accuracy. I thought it was hilarious. And then I went and referenced her page and her edges look really good. So she wasn't even tripping. I mean, she was tripping for nothing. I want to give a huge shout out to the lovely Maya's World, Shameless Maya,
yes.
Who was always dropping dimes for y'all asses. And she tweeted, "Having less while creating more is the art of creativity."
Say
yes,
that.
Yes, Maya.
Okay, now you let that sit up on your shoulders and your waistline from time to time. That Amen. Is wisdom, all right? Then I want to give a shout out to Barbara Streisand. I don't have
Word,
to spell
Barb.
That because you know who that is. Who tweeted, "In my humble opinion, I was very disappointed that director Dee Reese and her powerful film Mudbound movie wasn't even nominated." And she was referring to the Golden Globes. And, you know, for something like that to come out of Barbara Streisand's mouth, who is an EGOT and all these other things, and she's like, you know, the ultimate entertainer, for her to recognize a film that has my girl, Mary J. Blige, in it, who's been getting okay. all sort of critical acclaim and acclaim from her peers for her performance in Mudbound. She was nominated for 2 Golden Globe Awards. Unfortunately, she didn't take home any trophies, but that's okay. She was nominated, and she's also listed in the exclusive group of entertainers who have been nominated in dual categories at the Golden Globes, 1 for song and 1 for acting. So shout out to Mary J. Blige,
man.
Getting that co-sign from Babs. Now, as a reference, this is not the first co-sign from Barbara Streisand for Mary J. Blige. See, Mary J. Blige is a legend, and she's respected by her real peers like Barbara Streisand. Case in point, A Merry Christmas, which is Mary J. Blige's beautiful Christmas album produced by David Foster. It's an amazing
wow,
album.
Wow, David Foster.
Yes, and she actually has a feature from Barbara Streisand on that album. Mary J. Blige has a song with Barbara Streisand on her Christmas album. Put some respect on her name, Autry, y'all. Autry, y'all. So I also want to give my last shout out to at Big Head Monty with 2 eyes, who tweeted, "Why do my mama entertain my brother's Stranger Things obsession?" And she accompanied it with a video of her brother casting a power. Now, I don't watch the show. And his mother like slamming up against the wall. And it's the
to be
cutest
11.
Little family.
That's really cute though.
So I just wanted to give a shout out to that because that was super cute. And that's all I found in these streets.
In these streets. Ow.
And before we move forward, I actually want to take advantage that Dustin brought up Shameless Maya, because she created a YouTube video that explains Bitcoin
Woo!
And cryptocurrency. It's a perfect follow-up to the episode that we did with Zion, in case you felt like you needed a little more information, or maybe you're a visual learner and seeing it firsthand, you know, how to use the exchanges, what it looks like, is more your speed. So you have the audio, you have the visual. Happy money making. And lastly, I have to shout out my homie Jesse Boykins, Woo! Who will be performing live on TRL, you guys.
Wow.
At 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah. He will be performing his single Earth Girls. So please, everyone, tune to it if you have MTV. Obviously, the more ratings, the more traffic, the more hype, the
That's
more
right.
tweets and social media engagement surrounding the performance will let people know how dope he is, and hopefully they'll bring him back and put him on a bunch of other programs. So send him love, tweet him, send, let everyone know that he's going to be on TV.
Okay.
So
go check him out. Check out his new project that just came out.
Yes, he's now signed to Def Jam, so definitely check him out. It's called Bartholomew. Love you, Jesse.
Yeah.
And Maya. Okay.
And Maya.
And Maya.
Okay. The fourth member of the friend zone.
Okay. In the corner on the thing, on the artwork.
That was so damn funny.
I still have that picture saved in my phone.
That's the, I just said she's the fourth member.
So y'all ready to jump into this week's episode?
Oh, let's do it.
So remember last time we were talking, in last week's episode, we brought up the, I don't even know how we got to it, but we were talking about Frank Ocean's album Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
What even led us to that? Something in your music segment?
No, it wasn't. It
no?
Was, no. We were talking about NeNe's hair. And we were talking about which shade of blonde.
I really looked over at him like he was.
It was which shade of blonde worked best.
Gonna guide us.
I think that it was earlier in the segment we were talking about ditch and replace it something.
Exactly.
There was a music segment.
So.
Because you remember it was the music category.
Oh, yes, right.
But I remember you expressing that you did not like it the first time that you heard it.
No.
Okay.
Don't Tony Braxton me.
Okay.
Ooh.
Before people jump down
I can't
my
even
throat.
Say that name back to you.
Well, I thought it was dishwater blonde. I ain't gonna lie.
No.
I wasn't impressed.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I didn't feel it. It wasn't that I thought it was bad. It was just that, you ever see an
music
album?
Didn't connect.
Yeah, the people are like, yo, this is the greatest shit ever. And you're just like, okay. I didn't hate it. I love Frank Ocean. I'm actually a huge fan. Orange was obviously amazing.
Right.
And all his projects are amazing. All his mixtapes from back in the day when he, what was his name? Bro?
Lonnie Bro.
Mm-hmm. And he was awesome. He had like 45. I remember my old iPod had probably like hundreds of his demos. So I've always been a fan. But I just didn't connect. And then randomly, I heard Siegfried. I don't even know where I was. And it hit me. Like, I was like, ooh. Suddenly the words felt different, sounded different. The music sounded different. It's like my consciousness, let me be frank for a second, opened up to it. And I completely received the album in a way I hadn't before. So we touched on that last week. And then people were tagging me to DJ Booth, who had written an article and posted it on Twitter, where he was saying the same exact thing the next day.
About the same damn album.
About the same album. Wow. And how it was something he didn't feel, but now he does. And he was just kind of breaking that down. Like, how is it that that happened to him? And it kind of got me thinking. I was like, what is it that makes you like something or not like something and then completely just change your perspective on it at some point in your life or not? But what is it that causes those changes? And even trying to think back to like what happened in that moment that made you receive it differently. So I was curious, and this could range in everything from music to food that you eaten that you hated and now you love. Maybe
like coconut water.
Don't play with me. You
no, for real. No, not, no, but let me tell
people
you.
People say that it's so nasty, and I'm like, what?
But let me tell you something, friend.
Here we go.
Before, like, 2 or 3 years ago, coconut water just used to be gross. I used to be like, this is, there. Like, there used to be an aftertaste. There was something that just was not doing it for me. Some of them had the little pulp in it. And, you know, I was just like, I don't know about this. Now, you were with me when we was in Atlanta.
Yes, and I got at the spot, Art Thomas.
So, you know, I do fuck with the coconut water with the little pieces in there. I do, but it took a while. I started to drink it because I heard it was good for hydration. I was like, let me just see if this is something I could get used to. And then after a while, it was like, okay, like, you know, Rihanna's doing the Vita Coco. You know, this don't taste that bad. There ain't no weird, like, flavor to it. Because I'd get the original. There was, like, the lemonade ones and the pineapple. And I was like, I don't know if I can do all this. Original, I acquired it, and it was bomb. But I didn't know why that happened. I just kept drinking it, and eventually I kind of, like, liked it.
See, but it, see, because there's this thing in psychology, because, of course, I had to look it up. And it's called the mere exposure effect. It's a psychological phenomenon by which people tend to develop a preference for things merely because they're familiar with them. In social psychology, this effect is sometimes called the familiarity principle. Hmm. It's almost kind of, at least my interpretation of it, is like the radio. When you hear a song that you might hate and then you catch yourself singing the hook because you've heard it like five times.
Beat the hell out of Dead Horse.
Right. And then before you know it, you're like, you know what? This isn't so bad. It's catchy. You kind of make excuses for it. And then suddenly you like it.
Next thing you know, Despacito. Next thing you know, because that shit grew on. When I tell you now, I'll be in the car like jamming.
And then obviously they say that sometimes it's the opposite effect too, where you can hear something so much. And I think that's kind of what happened with Bodak Yellow, where they,
oh my God,
especially New York. I can't really speak for any other radio or city or club, but that song was played so much that now when you hear it, you're just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. The radio, I think, did the most with it. I mean, Bodak Yellow was huge, but they ran it down.
I can tell you that they did it everywhere.
Every,
I remember being in different cities.
Oh, in every city in Atlanta, too?
In every city I went to on the road, it would come on the radio and the Starbucks. And I'd be like, okay,
at the airport.
What? Seen a little man on the Alaska Airlines tail jamming the Cardi B Bodak Yellow. I was like, oh, here we go.
No,
man.
He didn't. But I just thought that was interesting. Obviously, I had to look up for the psychological terms for it.
Yes.
But I do think it's because you kept seeing coconut water. I mean, you said Rihanna started working for them, kind of. Or not working for them. She's
so
clean.
I remember, like, in 2010, this girl I used to work with, she always used to drink coconut water. And I remember trying it and be like, okay, this is not so bad, but I don't really like it. And she'd be like, you know, you're crazy. You need to drink it. You need to try a different version. So I was like, let me just try different ones. And I was trying different ones. And then finally, I started to like the taste to be like, okay, this is what I don't actually like about these. Because I started to find brands that I trusted. And then, you know, the Vita Coco one, when I was like, okay, this is actually really... You know, I keep seeing Rihanna holding this damn coconut water up. So let me just try that one. And
so
I was trying
it. It was a cosign.
It was a cosign from Rihanna.
I mean,
it helped. Because, you know, there were all the other brands, you know, in the bodega now. There are good brands and then there are bad brands. So you don't really know what to trust anyway. Because the bodega has everything. You know, anything from Pepsi and Sprite and Coke to, like, the lower budget, like the little, like the Coco Rico, which is a good soda.
Oh, my God, that used to be my soda.
But it's still, like, an indie-ass, ghetto-ass soda that they wouldn't carry, like, a Quick Trip in Atlanta, I feel like.
Right.
So then you have all these different-ass coconut waters in the deli. It's like, okay, is this a good one? Because, you know, there'll be them little nectar juices in there and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. But the one we had in Atlanta was, like, a straight-up coconut.
That was a coconut.
Like, he came with the machete. The dude came, opened it up for us. So that, to me, is my favorite. I'm actually not a huge fan of a lot of the commercial coconut companies. I do like Harmless Harvest.
That's a good one.
It's expensive.
It tastes closest to the
natural
thing.
To me, from all the ones I've tasted, obviously I haven't tasted all of them, but the ones I have, that's the closest to a real coconut. It's so good. I just don't know how people don't like it.
If you get coconut water, I will say Vita Coco is just like a version of some coconut juice. Like, it's not a natural
right.
coconut water. Like, if you go out to a restaurant and they have like fresh, pure coconut water, I say give it a try because it's good.
I posted the picture from when we were in Atlanta. And, yo, the comments on Instagram, you can still go back now. I mean, obviously, this was like years ago, probably like 2015 or something.
Oh, that,
remember?
When we were in Atlanta this weekend, we ate at the restaurant that we ate at with my parents right there by the hotel.
Oh, cute.
They were playing the game in there. It was
that
a bunch
was so
of Falcons fans.
I love your
shit.
Parents.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Dustin? Is there something, anything? It could be fashion, music, even a person, an artist. That you just were like, and now all of a sudden, you see it for them. Or maybe in the reverse.
Well, first of all, dialing back to, I'm having the experience right now in this moment. Because
really?
You referenced DJ Booth for writing the article.
Mm-hmm.
And the name itself, I'm struggling with. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, it's catchy. It's like, you know, I'm DJ Booth in the DJ Booth. But it's like, is that your location? Is that your name? I just can't decide if it's stupid or not.
I don't know. The chopping block.
I don't know if it's stupid or not. But beyond that, believe it or not, you know, don't punish me and don't take my black card away from me, which I'm so black, I ain't even going to give it up if you try to take it. But candy yams.
Okay,
candy
you did like
fucking
them and
yams.
You do now?
I used to, of course, when I was a child, they're sweet and covered in sugar and butter and cinnamon and shit, so I loved them, you know? But as I've gotten older and, I don't know, dog, it's just something about, like, the texture of certain shit in my mouth. Like, I don't like that
mushy.
And then combined with, so you already got mushy, which has me already on the edge. Then, so with the mushy, you got the slime of that sugar juice that's on there.
Mm.
And then, this is really gross. What really like made me say, the door is closed to candy yams, right? They're such a leftover-esque food, right? Because they're usually prepared around the holidays or when there's a large meal like that that you have leftovers for. And so when you take them out of the refrigerator and you go to spoon them and scoop them up, the sugar juice has thickened naturally from the from it being chilled, and so it's really slimy. And homie, don't play that. That's all I got to say. So I saw that slime, and I was like, that's my time.
So you used to like it, but now you don't.
Used to love them, can't stand them now. And don't, let me say this. Just because I don't like them doesn't mean I don't know them or understand them. So I wish you would try me and try my time. Come around here with some candy yams with marshmallows on the top of them. We don't eat them like that.
You know what? I did not
we
get
don't
into
eat that.
That. I was like, why do they have marshmallows in here? But I have had it a couple times. Like, this is actually not so bad.
I'm straight.
Just wouldn't be my regular.
But yeah, so that happened with me with candy yams. That's one thing that I can literally say. It shifted. My tastes have shifted. Also, tighter pants.
Oh, you know,
believe
what?
It or not,
that's real.
That has been such a struggle for me. You know, I'm from the Midwest.
That
and
is so funny.
For real,
so
our real. Pants looked like family rooms. They were huge, but like we cannot. How long can you be, you know, bridled by, you know, the burden of making sure your pants are big enough to be socially acceptable? Fuck that shit. I got legs. You know what I'm saying? And I once I found out I had stems and gams, you know what I'm saying? I was like, fuck that shit. I put on me a pair of tight pants and I heard Encore by Evelyn Champagne King start playing in my head. Y'all so good, good love. You start hearing it whenever you put on tight pants. That's a song. Stepping in the show tonight. Hey, after working hard, you start hearing that when you put on tight pants. But no, as I've gotten older and matured, I have found that I don't know. I just feel more comfortable when my pants are tailored to a certain fit. I feel like the athletic fit and cut is more flattering on my body and on my shoes because I wear 11 and a half. I got big feet.
Here you go.
So, Jesus, you know, so you have, as a guy, hello, as a guy, you have to consider that. There's so many things about being a guy that people overlook. Mm-hmm. But our shoes are so big. I'll never forget on King of the Hill when their neighbor told Peggy Hill, "Ooh, Peggy Hill, your feet so big like boats." She said her feet looked like boats. And as guys, we have that problem. So I found that a taper leg is more flattering and that just I've worn tighter pants. And so that, but back in the day, the old Dustin, and there's some niggas listening to this show right
that
now who know that person. And they know that I would have never been caught dead with some pants as tight as my I really be pushing it.
I wonder, because I noticed that too.
Yeah, my pants, they that tight, friend?
No, no, I don't mean for yours. Oh, I mean, God, when I go back to the old block. The dudes that I would have never guessed would be in some tight-ass jeans are in tight-ass jeans, sitting on the block, on the bench. And I wonder, what is it that changed men's perspective on tight-ass pants? I do think it's sort of like Asante was saying with the coconut juice. It's a cosign. Mm-hmm. Every rapper.
Yeah, when rappers really started doing that shit with Wayne and all
who
them.
Started it?
Kanye.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Tight pants?
Kanye started that whole trend of like, you know, slimmer like fitting hugging. Clothes and shit when it came to like urban streetwear.
Really? Yeah, yeah, you remember he did the schmedium sweater over like the button-up shirt.
Oh, shit.
Sometimes he would do the t-shirt over the button-up or some shit. Like he was really like pushing fashion because I remember he was doing like the backpacks and all that.
Mm-hmm. So
for a lot of people. I'm sure, now let me be clear.
For a lot
they
of people.
Come around this war, they ain't gonna come fuck with me because they already know I don't give a damn. But there were definitely people who, you know, made those strides in style before him. Mm-hmm. But because Kanye was so visible and so popular, there are a lot of people who may not have, you know, been inclined to follow a trend per se that were comfortable because it was him.
Right.
So and then he had he brought out like Big Sean came, you know what I mean? And he was a fashion, you know, a fashionable rapper.
Yeah.
You know, fabulous. Look at he's like literally he's an ambassador for New York Fashion Week men's now. He's at all the shows front row and he takes risks like fabulous be on Fashion Bomb Daily.
Yep.
For real.
He be on Fashion Bomb Daily. Dressed.
I love how he dresses. He to me is such a New York dude. Like the New York dude that can dress, that's what they look like.
Sharper than the right turn.
Even Lil Wayne influenced it with his like the skateboard culture and all that. Mm-hmm. He'd wear the real skinny ass jeans with his big ass boxers hanging out the back. Now you see a bunch of little kids doing that shit now.
So I guess the cosign is a big thing now. that opens people up to trying different things.
I just didn't want to be country per se. No offense to anything or anybody's style choice, but like, you know how like you watch The Real Housewives of Potomac and like they go through all this work like to be glammed up or work with a stylist or whatever, but they all literally look like they were on Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, like the black family that lived in that neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? And just all that tacky, that gaudy, you know, appliques. You just see all that, and for me, it's like cringeworthy. So you then say to yourself, okay, let me just do a self-evaluation and check myself first. You know what I mean? And you go through like your style. And I have found that in my head, I'm buying a 34 and thinking, you know, these are fitted jeans because they're not a huge, you know, Shaquille O'Neal 36 waist pant on me. And the whole time, the 34 is actually baggy. So then I started working with this tailor, and he was like, Dustin, you should just try. Like, you know, he encouraged me to take certain risks. And when I would see the clothing, yeah. But I knew that on my merit alone, it just wasn't going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
That's some fascinating shit.
I needed the help.
Yeah. Okay, so since we started out with food and both of you gave food, I would say olives.
Olives.
Which I know that's so random, but I used to find them disgusting. Like, I would pick it out when my grandmother and my mom cooked with it, like a seasoning. I would always pick it out of my food. And now I literally crave it.
You get
like,
extra.
I crave it. I do. And I literally, it's one of my favorite snacks now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll eat a bowl of olives with the little cherry tomatoes mixed together with a little bit of pink Himalayan salt on top. And just that's just a snack for me now.
Fran, do you know what?
Put an egg on mine.
I remember going to the grocery store when I was younger and seeing like at the salad bar the little olives and all that and being like, what the hell?
I know, like who would ever? And look at it like who would ever?
And now it's me. Now I'd be at Whole Foods being like, let me just stop by this little olive bar and see what the hell is
going on. And don't slap them on a pizza pie.
Oh,
that's amore.
I love me a little Supreme, the works.
What?
And you know what? The same with seltzer water.
Oh, my.
I used to think it was the dumbest, most. I never understood him. Like, why would you drink something that tastes like nothing and just fizzes? Like Alka-Seltzer.
Right.
And now
I love it.
With a lemon?
It's the most refreshing, most satisfying, thirst-quenching beverage in the world.
I crave it more than anything.
It's even like the taste of a Pellegrino, a fresh ice-cold Pellegrino.
A cold
with
one
your food.
After a long day. Yes.
That is delicious. And then when you get into like the... It's so funny you say this because you've been to my house before and seen in that refrigerator a Sante.
Stacked.
Yep.
On deck like the Ace of Spades. Shout out to Patty LaHale. But that... I love seltzer water. I used to think it was completely pointless. What are you drinking? Air? And then once I had it, and now I crave it. And it's really good with cocktails.
And you know what's weird? Somebody was saying that it's something. It's a craving you develop. You hear me? Develop.
Body. Brand. Hey, Brand.
It's a craving you develop in your late 20s, early 30s.
Really?
And
that's
when
it happened.
And I find that so interesting because everyone you ask, it's around then.
I can remember it happening because I was working at CPK and I was like, I don't really like this shit, but like, let me just drink some.
And
like,
it was
I felt like my mom because I was always like, let me just drink a little something to wet my mouth. And then one day I know all the white women always used to come in. And this goes back into an endorsement. The white women always used to be like, I would like club soda with a splash of cranberry and lime. And every time they would order, I'd be like, here, I got to go get the damn cranberry from the bartender. And then when they would change their mind or they wouldn't get the refill when I would make it already, I would just drink it myself. After a while, I was like, you know what?
I want me a club soda with a cranberry and lime. Yeah.
The boy is ordering the cranberry cooler regularly.
That shit
okay?
is good.
So damn good.
So good. And I think if I were to ask, like, okay, what opened me up to olives and even salsa? Not so much salsa. That was just a random craving that I just gave into. So I don't really have, like, a story for it. But olives, I think you get to a point, especially the older you get, and obviously I can only speak for myself, where I'll eat things that I also know are healthy for
yes.
me. They're not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
eat, like, green juices. Mm-hmm. I remember I'll never forget. This was, like... Damn, this has to be like 2000 2007, I think, when the person I was dating at the time, he was huge on juicing. And he, I mean, I've mentioned him before. His name is Bryce. He bought me a juicer and was like, listen, we're going to be juicing. Like, that was his thing. And I'll never forget the first time I drank some. I was like, I can't.
He's like, ooh.
It was like swamp water. You're going to have to take this back. No, it looked disgusting because it was like all these different shades of browns and greens.
And then all that shit was floating
in. And I just was like, I can't. I was so grossed out. But the more I drank it, especially because I was so sick at that time, I was like, you know what? I felt so good. And it was giving me energy. I could see my skin changing. And then I started switching from only eating things that taste good and that I would like crave to actually incorporating things that I know are doing good for my body, even if it wasn't my favorite, because I'm not gonna sit here and lie and say green juices are delicious.
No,
they're not. But
wheatgrass never gets any better to me. The first time I had,
but
wheatgrass,
I love them. I'll drink a green juice like it's nothing. I'll chug it back like it's water.
I will,
because I'm completely conscious of the effect of it on my body, like on a cellular level, skin, hair, mentally. You know what I mean? And that, at this point, I think is where my brain has opened up with food. That's why I saw someone, I think it was Kitchenista on Twitter. She was
That's a cooking ass right there.
I love her. She was asking, like, what are make or break things when you're dating or out with someone that has to do with food?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, it always bugs me out, someone that isn't open to like trying different foods even healthy things. We're like, ew, no, green juices. Like, I can't. We're not going
to
connect.
That's really annoying to me, too.
You know what I mean? Like, try it. Try it first. If you hate it, I get it. But at least try it and at least be open to what it might be doing for you. Like wheatgrass shots, like you were saying, that's not the best tasting thing in the world.
Apple cider vinegar every damn day.
Apple cider vinegar.
But I be,
it's a rough one.
Look, taste sucks, but vitality rocks.
You haven't had a cold in how long?
And when you feel that, when you feel that throat tickling, and you get excited, this is how bad it is, you get excited about getting home to take the ass shot of apple cider vinegar because you know by the morning.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I swallow
it. To that point.
And it be feeling bad when I swallow it, but then it made my body dance, so I know it did something good. I be like, all right, I guess I can handle this.
And that's why, you know what's interesting too? Jonathan Mena. Shout out to Jonathan.
Shout out to
Mena. Actually, you know what? We didn't get an opportunity because it happened over the break, but we have to say rest in peace to Combat Jack Reggio-Se, who passed over break. He was super influential on all of our lives, a big reason we even have this podcast to begin with, as he was the head of LSN. So obviously getting that news rocked all of us. We didn't even really know what to say about it. So we definitely want to send prayers and love and energy to his family and all of his friends and everyone that is dealing with him no longer being here. And we love you, Reggie.
Yes.
We love you, Reggie, man.
Right? That was rough. And Jonathan Mena, who is one of the head engineers at LSN, he recently was diagnosed with cancer. And I saw him the other day at the holiday party, and it was funny. We were cracking jokes because he was like, you know, I used to make fun of you, like, for how serious you take your health. Because you were, like, mad annoying, like, when they would bring out the douce, remember? And I'd be like,
no.
I don't want any. And, you know, and I never want to be that person. But I have to have boundaries for myself because I know how I want my body to feel. And even though in the moment it's like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to be perceived as a party pooper. But I know why I say no to certain things. And so
you'll
me and
be
him,
the last one party.
And me and him were talking about that. And he was just like, it's, you know, the way your consciousness opens. And sometimes it does take having an illness to see that, unfortunately, which is what happened to me. And the reason I built a brand over discussions like this and opening your consciousness is hoping that you didn't have to hit that wall and have an illness to then be like, damn, maybe I shouldn't drink as much, or maybe I should switch up what I eat. You know, unfortunately, I was sick. I was, you know, dealing with the pain, like the physical pain of it. And that will always be a reminder for me. So when I see certain shit or about to drink, I'll be like, it's not that serious. I can say no. And so seeing Jonathan with his cancer, like now he's switched up his whole diet and his lifestyle. You see, he's like not drinking no more. I was like, that's what happens, bro. Sometimes those things can actually become spiritual awakenings. like breakups, illnesses, you have two choices. It can either make you go worse, or you can decide at that choice point that you're going to like combat it. Aw, combat. Love you. But that was an interesting conversation because I think that's a big thing outside of just cosigns, which do affect us. It's also just how things that happen to you, that experiences, I should say, that make you see things totally different once you get through to the other side, which is what I think even musically. What about artists? Are there like projects or an artist or maybe even a specific album or song that you did not fuck with and now you heard it differently where you're like, oh my God, where is this song? That song you always skipped and now you listen to it recently.
Two things come to mind immediately. And speaking of Ash Blonde, when I first listened to that album, I didn't like it. Nothing appealed to me. Like I felt like it was just under the note, the whole album. So production, everything. And then I was on Instagram Live browsing through the stories, and Solange had a party themed to the Emerald City in The Wiz.
Oh, man.
Everything in the party.
The glitter.
Yeah, it was in New Orleans. Everything in the party was illuminated in green neon light, and all these plants were all over the walls. It was amazing. And the DJ was playing this song. And the way Solange, like, she recorded the whole part where the beat, like, transitioned. And I was like, what the hell is this song? So I was Googling the lyrics and trying to find out nothing. I couldn't make out the lyrics clear enough. And so I just asked people on Twitter to go on her story and tell me what that song was. And it was Nights on Frank Ocean's Blind album. And so that opened up me to listening to that album. And now I have a whole new appreciation for it, and I love it. The main story that I tell all the time, and this literally was pivotal for me, right? I'm telling y'all, I did not have any time, space, or energy for Tinashe as an artist.
Man.
You remember when this happened. Yes. You remember my awakening.
Yes.
It just wasn't going to happen. And so I was actually coming back from D.C. Were we headed to D.C. or coming back? We were on the way to D.C. because on the way back, we listened to the Ashanti album, the first one. But
what?
Yes.
So random.
We were on the way to D.C. and my friends were playing this album and everybody in the car was feeling good. You know, we had just had a meeting with, when we left New York because we drove to D.C., we had just had a meeting with Mary Jane. And so we drove to D.C. and everybody was feeling great in the car. And so they were playing this album, and it turned out that it was Tinashe's Amethyst mixtape. And I had no idea who the artist was. They wouldn't tell me. And we listened to the whole thing from beginning to end. And I'm like, yo, who is that? Like, I have to have this. And they told me it was Tinashe. Totally different style than anything on her albums. Totally different artistry. Completely changed. I was ashamed and regretted so many things that I had said in good fun. You know what I mean? About her. But now I love her. I love her music. And I have literally a respect for her, like her artistry. Completely. Aww. Because of that. It changed. A wonderful change, like Tremaine Hawkins said, hey, has come over me. A wonderful change.
That is so funny. Actually, Tinashe was somebody that I liked when I heard, but she wasn't memorable to me. Like, I heard the Two On song was like the first big hit of hers that I remember hearing. And I was like, okay, this goes off in the club. And then one day I was like, okay, this is really going off. I need to see what's going on with this girl. And then I went and I listened to the album, and there were like a lot of really dope moments that I really liked. I feel like this was around the time I really started smoking weed, or maybe I've been smoking, but something really big was happening for me, like spiritually, while I was smoking too. So I was like, damn,
you start opening up.
Everything was like really heightened, like whatever it was. So I was listening to, right. So I was listening to her album Aquarius, and like the production on there, and even for the songs that at the time there were songs I didn't like care for, but I was still like, man, this production on this is really, really hard. Like, she has this song, actually a song that I really liked was called Pretend, that she had ASAP Rocky on, and it was just like really dope and different from what she was doing. But like, the project had different like segments. Like there was like the R&B feel segments, but then like this weird otherworldly feel, and then there was like these pop rock parts, and I was kind of like, all right, this is a little too much going on all at once. But then I had to like learn to appreciate it in like moments or sections. So I felt like that was something she was trying to do. With all of that said, I would also like to just randomly shout out Moselle at the Pompette Wine Shop, who always was fucking with Frank Ocean. He always does Frank Ocean Fridays at Pompette Wine Shop.
Yes.
So shout out to him for that.
And would yell at me for not understanding Blonde.
And would get on you for Blonde. And I remembered that. And you I also remember.
What would he tell you, Frank? Shut the fuck up. I don't want your conversation.
I'm dead. No.
So on top of that, to the both of y'all, to you and Moselle, you know, Frank Ocean still dropped that visual that still was a visual, I guess. But
talking about Endless.
Endless. But the music,
the staircase.
The music behind Endless was amazing. And I hate that it was missed out on because there were a lot of cool songs. And a couple, actually, I think had Jasmine Sullivan on tracks. So
I need to revisit that. It's on Apple Music.
It's on right? Apple Music. You don't even got to watch the video. Just let it play in the background and put your put it on the big screen.
Can
on full
I buy it on iTunes?
Probably.
Okay. I'll do that.
Probably because I feel like actually I think I did buy it because I saved it and I have it on full screen. I always put it up while I'm cleaning just to hear the whole thing. Because when you take it off full screen on Apple Music, it starts back over, which was pissing me off.
So we like, tired of that.
Okay, right. How y'all still doing that in 2018? I hope there's an update out and I'm
as
wrong
good
about
as we've
that.
Been so to y'all.
Tweet me and let me know if that's right.
We didn't gave a lot to Apple.
I mean,
we've been good, damn good to Apple.
The company, okay?
Overall.
The entire thing. Entirety.
We gotta wait on a goddamn update.
I think that's what I love too about music is, and speaking for myself,
come on.
Sometimes you need to experience things to understand certain lyrics.
That's yes. true.
Like certain love songs before you had that big love or that person that really opened you up in that way. And you might have found a song like annoying or not annoying, but cheesy, let's say, or maybe you just didn't connect, so you would skip it. And then you get that that big love. You go back to that song. And sometimes I think back to songs I listened to when I was little, like Aaron Hall. Like
I miss you.
We were so deeply affected by the video, by the song.
You Fran, the that's video? One of your songs? Oh, my God.
But why? How old were we?
Every time I lay
what were we, like 10?
Oh, my God. Fran, I love I Miss You by Aaron Hall. And it did make me feel like I know.
At 10.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly how I felt about 112 Cupid. I used to, like, go up for that song. Oh, but it's like, I was so young at the time. Like
who?
I'm singing about
felt
Cupid.
Felt every song. Emotion. It had
ain't
even.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I was like, you better go off, Slim. I'm okay. right there with you. Cupid, don't lie. Okay, we okay. know that.
Oh, what about the other homie? I don't want to know.
Ooh, okay. Mario Winans. If you're playing me, keep it on the low.
Hey. Even that.
My heart can't Ooh. Take it anymore.
We weren't getting cheated on at no 10 years old.
You really want to break it down? Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, the fucking Roberta Flack remix.
Oh,
come
man.
On, we. How many times
was
you
way
sing
too
about?
Young. I don't think I had gone through any of that shit, but I was at home like killing.
Okay, strumming my pain. With
but
his
you
fingers.
Know what? I be thinking about the kids today singing the worst of some of these songs that I'm singing the worst of. Like I ain't never popped no Xan or Molly. Like I'm singing this.
Oh, that's true, right? So, you at home like Percocet,
right?
Molly
these
Percocet.
Children right, like, are doing the same thing. They're gonna get up and they're gonna be older and be like, I would never pop Molly. Like why would I rap that?
Meanwhile,
song's still catchy
because of Metro Boomin's ass yep. and all of them. That's why making okay. them good ass beats.
I mean,
and we
just
can't help but jam.
Up.
Mask Off is a great song musically. That flute, all those instruments, it's addictive.
It's a classic. It's definitely
so
a
Perkins
classic.
Said, Molly Perkins said, I ain't never took that shit. I just was able to take Nuprin. Okay. So,
I'm not
going
to lie. I be feeling bad like I'm struggling when I'm listening to Lil Uzi Vert because I just need the Lord to know that I'm not playing with my faith when I'm listening to him.
See, okay.
But, you know, because the songs
devilish.
Be going.
Remember Michael Jackson? It's devilish.
I mean, the songs just be going off. Breathe in. Breathe out. Shake his ass. Go slow. It's like I can't not fuck with it. And then he'd be like, Lil Uzi Vert. And I'm like, is he saying Uzi Vert? Wait, I can't. I gotta turn this off.
Stop it.
Well, you know, that's the big debate. Like, is he trying to say he's
like
Uzi Vert?
A playoff of Lil Uzi.
But he'd be saying Lil Uzi Vert, and then he'd be saying
Lil in the house.
One of his.
Yeah, where is that baby
Scott.
At? That's what we need to.
Yes,
we need. Okay. You need to sit
put
that baby up
beginning.
On the table and have Lil Uzi Vert pull a chair up to the table and just let that baby and Lil Uzi Vert stare at each other till we get answers.
But has that happened to
but
y'all?
What if Lil Uzi Vert just start laughing and smile at the baby
and
the
do
baby
a little
laugh?
Shoulder?
Well, no, because you know babies will tell it. Babies don't go
he's
to
so
everybody.
Charming.
He is. He's charming as fuck.
That baby might be like, you never know.
And then Uzi gonna be like,
right. And the baby gonna be like,
and he's like, you want some Skittles?
And then you're going to hear the mama in the background like Ebony Jenkins' mama.
Shut up!
Yeah, y'all did a whole skit just
yes!
Yes, this is great. So, date the answer.
Yes. So, I don't know where we just went, but is this something that happens to y'all where a song, because of something you went through, now you receive the song completely differently?
Absolutely.
Or maybe you can't listen to a song anymore because of who it's attached to or memory or a specific situation.
And that's tough. That's something, we laugh and shit, but that's something that's really tough.
Of course.
And it's hard for a lot of people, too. And so, I don't know, sometimes you just got to learn how to live without certain, you know, songs and shit in your life because you really
that's
can't
real.
Avoid those triggers. And we just talked about that. Those are the non-associative memories,
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't that what it was
but
called?
The innocent bystanders.
Yeah. So, you know, those songs may become those. I don't know. You just have to break it down. You just have to.
What about you?
I remember being emo as hell in school. So, you know, I listened to all the Dashboard Confessional and Take It Back Sunday.
Oh,
Dashboard Confessional.
So I remember being like, I remember listening to some of them songs and being like, I am crying and I don't know who or why it's making me cry. And then I got older and, you know, I had a breakup and I remember revisiting a couple of them songs and being like, damn, was I crying for you then? Like, what in the fuck? And then when I was crying, it was just like, okay, because the song was making me do it. But now to know that, like, I actually feel this way listening to this shit, it's like a deeper connection. And now it makes it harder to revisit certain songs.
I'll tell you this, too. My parents, like, growing up, I hated all those old 70s soul records. I hated all that shit. Because they forced us to listen to it. You know, we growing
same.
Up, they cleaning up to the Isley Brothers, Mays, the OJs, all
Otis
that.
Otis Redding.
Then I got Otis Redding, the Dramatics, all that shit. Then I got older and started hanging out and partying. And when I would go to clubs with, like, my older cousins and, like,
aww,
co-workers.
For the grown and sexy
yeah, party. I would hear this shit in the club and see grown people groaning to the songs. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, so that's why you motherfuckers like these songs. Okay,
right?
I get it now. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, I get it. And so I love, of course, now I love like all those older songs, but I felt that shift. I did.
You know what's another shift that I felt? The older I'm getting, I really love jazz.
Oh, yeah, friends.
Like, I've always liked it. I could listen to it, like Miles Davis, but now it's like I feel it. And I notice, and let me get hippy dippy for a second, the more I'm like, not following formulas and not trying to fit into any one box or label. You know, the things we always talk about, mm-hmm. that I'm kind of like coloring outside the lines with my life and my thoughts and just how I live. I notice that I'm drawn to music that kind of does the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the Bjorks, and we mentioned Tom York, because there's no structure really to their music. And so I've noticed that where I am in my life now, I'll be drawn to albums like that, that kind of take you on sort of, I guess, like a cosmic journey. You know, you can kind of get lost in the sounds as opposed to it being verse, you know,
bridge,
hook,
yeah.
bridge. It's just like a chant or a word or one line, and then it comes back around when it feels like it, you know? And that's why I've always loved Erykah Badu, too, because she kind of teetered on the line. Well, she'll give you a structured song, like a radio hit, but then she'd have the extended song.
Green Eyes.
Like Green Eyes.
Mm. Orange Moon.
Or Out of, what is it? Out of Time? Out
My
Mind,
just in time.
Like, where you, it's like 10 minutes of a journey of like her missing him to not missing him to wanting him back to not wanting him. and you get lost in it. And I've always been drawn to songs that don't really have a structure whatsoever now. And the older I'm getting, the more and more I'm drawn to that music. Like, I'll even listen to just notes. And jazz is my favorite because there's, like, no one singing. It's just them wilding out with however they're feeling in that mm-hmm. moment. They're just giving it to you. They're wailing. And I just love it. Like, I feel it. I'm like, oh, sometimes I don't even want to hear a verse. Sometimes I don't want to hear a story or a hook or none of that.
Right.
No structure. Just give me a feeling. And I notice I'm way more drawn to that music the older I'm getting. It's almost like the untethering of my mind is now transcending my life as a whole, if that makes sense. And I'm finding it in every little way. Even clothing. Like, you just throw on whatever the fuck you feel.
Right?
You get dressed based on mood as opposed to style, if that makes
yes,
sense.
Or, total
or
sense.
Like a look. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that's so interesting to start looking at the ways that the things that you've changed from food to fashion to music to even people. That's another one I want to touch on before we go. And how that connects to your levels of consciousness, you know, and like things that your brain kind of stretched open now. Because I was reading another psychological journal that said it also has a lot to do with how rigid you are as a person. They said that they did an experiment where they had these people that said they did not like white wine. And obviously this is like a little experiment. Did not fuck with white wine. Nah, never liked it. So they put food coloring at an event and put red food coloring, gave it to these people and asked them how it was. And they loved it. They were like, this was good. What's the brand?
Chardonnay, bitch. Moscato ass.
They the ones was buying them bitcoins on 125th.
You said Moscato ass. I am dying. Oh, you know that Bitcoin article was fake. We got God.
So we the ones bought the bitcoins on 125th.
We making fun of who got God and we got God.
Fake news. Fake bitcoins.
Sad. No, but y'all don't make me forget. Oh, the
go
wine.
Ahead.
So it was funny that the people felt dumb because it's like you got to consider too, are you being rigid because you've been saying that you dislike something for so long that you haven't ever given yourself the opportunity to be like, why the fuck do I dislike this? Or maybe it was just a bad experience. Maybe it was the place, the timing, that particular type of wine.
The stroke.
I always tell myself that I'm being old when I'm... And I think that's what I mean.
I mean, it happens too. Then you got to be like, let's give it a...
I was going to try to... But you didn't want to. So y'all can...
Because I was like, you know what? Roll, I connected.
Roll with a nigga. Roll in the mud. Roll with a nigga in the mud for a minute.
Well, if we talking about connecting...
I too.
Connecting. Connecting.
Oh, no, you got him going. He going to find it in every word.
Anyway.
Dialing back to jazz. I didn't really get a full appreciation for jazz until I started going to jazz concerts and seeing the way that the musicians basically communicate with each other without even speaking. They laugh and they challenge each other to go higher or play at a faster pace.
Yes.
All of that is what makes it exciting. Now, I'm the person who... I have a specific need that has to be met musically in order for me to feel fulfilled. I want to roll my hips. I want to drop my legs to the ground. I want to roll and grind. I want to snap my fingers. I want a down bass beat. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I want a melody, a haunting melody, preferably. It can go one of two ways. But I had to learn how to not seek that sort of satisfaction out of music in order to appreciate other things.
Amen.
I can go to a Dixie Chicks concert. Well, maybe not, because that's going to be the wrong art. Well, maybe not, because Trump's America really don't fuck with the Dixie Chicks.
No, they're
that
blacklisted.
Right, so I can go there.
Beyonce fuck with the Dixie Chicks.
Right.
So I can go there and sing Landslide and understand that and still feel just as good as I do when I hear, you know, shake your ass in the club. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same sort of thing, but just a different style. And that's how I began to appreciate jazz. Also, I was scared of Miles Davis.
Why?
He just always scared me. Pictures of Miles Davis always scared the shit out of me.
He
just looked like he was going to get you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come here. You know, like, you could never get close. If you were a kid, you just couldn't get close. And that boy, come here. I'm gonna get you, Miles Davis, get you. Like, so no, I could not. I was scared of him. So.
Oh my God, I love him. So that's funny.
You didn't feel like Miles Davis was gonna get you.
Remember, I got the Miles Davis coaster. Dustin have a heart attack drinking in my house.
He gonna pick up his cup and just see my.
I can handle it now. Like not when I don't know because he do kind of look. I don't know if I can trust him, friend.
At the bottom of your glass.
Yeah, I see you. And I'm still here, nigga. Like you've been haunting me since I was a kid and shit. I go over friend's house to see the car. Still here, Tisha Campbell. Still here, Dustin. So no.
Yeah, I'll take me down. Okay, the last one before we move on. What about people?
Oh,
has there ever been, obviously you don't have to say who it is, but has there ever been someone that you just did not fuck with? Maybe they did something, maybe they didn't. It could have just been their energy, or sometimes people are just guilty by association. You don't fuck with someone that they fuck with, and you don't like them. You don't give them a chance. And maybe you met them later on in life and were like, yo, you're cool as hell. What the hell? Like, you know what I mean? Or the reverse, where y'all were cool and then you're like, I don't know why I like you.
You know what? At my last job, there was this girl, or this woman rather.
With the Mary Kay jacket?
No, leave her alone. And shout out to her for being on the commercial.
Mary Kay makes jackets?
According to Susie or whatever. And, what was her name?
And Doc Martens, let him tell it.
She always had on like a pink blazer that with shoulder pads. It just looked like a Mary Kay convention blazer, like she sold for the district. You know what I'm saying?
And then sometimes she would wear it with these pink Doc Martens, and I was like, this is...
And every time she had the shit on would be the days I would come up there. It wasn't.
She was managing those days, so it was like, you supposed to be managing right now.
She looked like Becky Buckwild from Flavor of Love as the manager of the restaurant.
She like Legally Blonde 3.
She did, but it was Dishwater Blonde.
He got it twice.
No.
Twice. Da, 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 da. Anyway, there was a woman I used to work with, and I remember like when we first started working with each other, she just did not like me. And then I was like, I don't like you either, girl. Like, ooh, we could just not like each other, and that's cool. But one day, you know, bonding in the shade, I don't even know what happened or what it was, but we kind of looked at each other and we was like, all right. And we just like bonded from there.
And just like that.
And I remember everybody at work still not fucking with her, but like she was my bitch. I was like, well, she ain't in my way. She ain't complained today. She ain't took none of my table. She ain't did shit to me, so I'm good. And they would be like, she just came in late. I'm like, I don't care. I got 3 extra tables. Well, you know, she's going to make us do this. And I'm like, I'm sitting up here thinking, like, she ain't did shit to me. Like, people were
mad. You started seeing it differently.
I did. I like, before.
What happened?
I don't know. Like, before, I can honestly say, like, I just hated working with her. I was like, this girl going to come in here and get her makeup all over the goddamn place and just make my job longer. And she always had this attitude. And then it was like, because she was talking to me. But what I realized, if I minimized contact with her, she would want to come and have contact with me, and she had sense when she did that. But if she would come in, and then she has to deal with people being like, you're late, why are you late? And then she ain't like that shit. And I was never part of that shit, but, you know, she always would come to me with a problem first. I'm like, you ain't even say hi to me, and you got a problem already? Like, girl, what the fuck is this problem?
Right.
But she was like a closer, so I was making something hard on her. Mm. So I realized I was making shit hard for her, and that's why she was on my case. And once I was making shit not only, like, easy for her, she was making shit easy for me. And then I was like, this is all you needed. We just needed to be a team. That's all you wanted.
Look at the oil on the wheel.
Everybody else, they did not get it. But old girl was still leaving with her money at the end of the night. And I was like, you know what? You do not have to be like to get your job done, but you will get your job done. And I can fuck with that.
Aww.
You can be a bitch and say, you know, I'm not fucking with you, but you need to get my, like, I need to get my job done. I can be like, you know what? You bought your paper because we at work and I need to be the same.
I love that. Then that's another thing. It's accountability. How much of what you don't like is actually you just projecting? Like, fuck.
Right.
Right.
That's what everybody's complaining. They're like, she came in late. I'm like, you just mad because they're not going to say nothing. Like her.
Right.
Because she's been here forever and they don't say shit to her about being late. But for me, I'm like, that's a bonus. For me, I just got an extra table. And then you're like, I didn't want an extra table. I didn't want to work. You missing out on money. And I'm like, all right, I see. There's a problem here. And this problem is me. I can't be over here talking with you, feeding into this negativity.
Look at that clarity.
Tuh.
And then I bet the people that they like, they ain't even noticed when they came in late. Because when you like someone, you let shit slide.
You cover up for them.
You cover up, exactly.
Because, and I guarantee you, every time somebody won her fire for something, they, the managers and stuff were always like, she's a hard worker. Because she was. She would come in late, but it's literally because she had a job down the street where they would keep her ass late because she worked so goddamn hard. So then she would come in her job, and she had to close any fucking way. So it's like, y'all
don't
mad
really
about
matter
me,
when she got there.
Y'all
it's
mad about me being late,
left.
But like, yeah. Bitch, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to make sure that this shit is spotless for y'all in the morning, so get the fuck off my dick. And she used to say that, and I used to be like, you know what? Rock these hoes.
You know, for me, no, I because I give people a clean slate now at this point in my life, right? Like, mm-hmm. I give everybody a clean slate. So I've kind of like everybody until they do something, you know what I mean? Or there's an incident. And I like this new policy, right? I like the way
this
I'm policing
policy.
Myself. I like it because... It enables me then. It's so funny how it just freed up and opened up this opportunity for me to really enjoy, like, just the moment of actually disliking someone, because it's always with merit. So I can really have a good time when I don't like people now, because it's always because of something they did. So I feel justified in being mean or,
oh,
you know,
God.
Throwing things, yeah. Or, you know, stuff like that. I can actually really enjoy it and, like, you know, put my best, you know, mean foot forward. So... I appreciate that.
Not
me, perspective.
Okay, mine is a
I
little.
I abused that on the train. Way
mine
too
is
much.
Mine is a little crazy, but hear me out.
Mm-hmm. Give it to
so
us.
So when I was, I've mentioned before the Brazilian dude that I met in Brazil. We mm-hmm. dated, fell in love, blah blah blah. Dated for years. So he, long story short, ended up leaving me for someone, and that girl, I remember I would see her and I hated her, which mm-hmm. was so dumb because.
No,
the
fuck her.
In the beginning, she didn't even know he had a girlfriend. So it was his doing, you know? But I was mad at damn. Him, obviously. But I hated her. Like, I hated her. I would see her. My stomach would hurt. I want to, like, fight her all the time. Sometimes we'd bump into each other in random places. And then, of course, you know how your friends are. They, like, egg it on. They're like, she ain't even cute. Mm-hmm. And da-da-da-da. Your body's better. And blah, blah, blah. And she can't. And making fun of her outfit. You know, trying to make you feel better. And long story short, years passed. They ended up getting married, having babies. And she messaged me one day and was like, I know I'm probably the last motherfucker you want to hear from because you're doing so well. And I am not trying to drudge up old shit or come, you know, woman to woman type shit online. She was like, but I really feel under different circumstances that me and you would have been friends because I think you're awesome.
Damn.
And
wow.
I was like, oh my God, right? Like, I was like,
you bitch.
I've hated you for years. And then she comes with this cool ass message that was, you know, she took accountability for the fact that, yes, after a while she did know we were together and was already in love. So it became a battle of, well, who's going to win him, you know? And so she was accountable for that. But then was like, you're cool as fuck. And that really kind of took me by surprise that she could separate herself from her emotions. And it made me be like, I could do the same. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, it was years ago. They have beautiful right. children. They're married. Clearly, it was supposed to happen that way. And they are a perfect match for each other. I honestly love her. Like, we talk all the time. I'm not even lying. We
Damn.
Talk. Yes, I talk to her and I don't talk to him. I haven't talked to him since like 2006. And me and her, she's come to my events. I know her daughters. I give them hair advice because they have this big, beautiful curly hair. Sometimes they want to try haircuts. They'll hit me like, where should I go? I'll give them advice about hair. Shopping, go thrifting. Like, we're cool as fuck because it has nothing to do with him. And everything to do with the women that we are outside of that very unfortunate circumstance and how we met.
This might be a reach, but do you think that you and her met or were supposed to meet because of him?
You know what? My mom actually said that one day. She was like, who knows? He could have just been the connector.
Right.
It's just that it happened in a
that
shitty
went,
way.
Right.
But if you could look past the shittiness of it, and actually see each other and be like, you're cool as fuck. First of all, her birthday is the day after mine. So we're very similar. And to be honest, she's dope as fuck. And I'm at a point now I can say this. Obviously, back then I could not. But I'm like, I get it. I totally get it.
You ain't wanna
she's
be in
a
marriage.
Way better wife. She, you know what I mean? She holds him down in a way that I know, especially at that point in my life, I was a fucking mess. That's when I was like cheating and doing all this shit. And then she came with a sense of home and stability that I didn't have. I have to be accountable too. You know what I mean? So I love that. It makes me feel happy that I can look past shit that at one point was probably like the worst thing that ever happened to me. And now I look back and laugh. And I think, and we literally laugh. Like we joke on each other about it. You know, like it's at that point where she'll say a little jab. I'll be like, shut up. You know that she took him. And it's like funny to us. And I think all that to say, you can't be so rigid about experiences and even little things like what you're eating, how you dress. Like be more malleable, you know, like let things come to you how you like feel them out. Actually feel them out. Let your mind get out the way sometimes. I actually tweeted that the other day. Consciousness over mind over matter. Let your consciousness feel things out. Let the truth be what you feel, as opposed to just being so set in stone. Like, I don't fuck with that person. Why don't you fuck with them? Maybe they're cool as fuck. You might be missing out on a friend. Maybe you dislike them because you actually really fuck with them low key. We were talking about that with envy too. You ever envied someone? Now when I envy someone, like something about them makes me be like, you know, that little, you'll say something sly in your head like, she ain't even that dope, you know? And I'll catch myself and I'll be like, you're jealous. Why are you jealous? Because she has worked hard at this and you know you haven't. You know what I mean? And I'm able to just break it down in the moment and then remove my mind and let that person in and receive them the way that I'm meant to receive them. So, obviously, we started talking about olives and coconuts, but it's just a conversation about your rigidness and the things that you've set in stone. And are they even real? And what can it be limiting you from experiencing? It's just something to think about with the things that you have decided.
That's right.
That may not even be based on anything real.
Amen.
That's it for this week's Hot Button. Hopefully,
I got my eye on your friend, but that's all I'm saying.
You are funny.
But, you know, go ahead.
No, I love her.
I love you. I love it. And that's why I'm not even going to ruin nothing
about
it.
You know what's funny? You're like my best friend. She was like, I'm glad y'all cool, but, you know, she was like anxious about it. I'm like, I get it. It makes sense to me.
And that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, for real.
And I know she's listening, so shout out to you. I love you, girl.
Hey, girl.
Support for today's episode comes from Birchbox. Birchbox is a monthly beauty subscription that sends 5 samples tailored to skin, hair, and style preferences right to your door. It was created for women, by women, as a better way to shop for beauty.
Ooh.
Brands vary from well-known to indie, and each box is personalized based on the recipient's beauty profile. So it's always a unique gift, no matter who you give it to.
Oh.
She doesn't have to be a beauty person. Birchbox is designed for women who don't have time or an inclination to obsess about beauty, but, you know, still want to look and feel great. I'm, you know, a lot of my friends are beauty persons, so I wouldn't give it to them. I think maybe I give it to someone like my mom or one of my friends that is just so busy. She has kids. She works hard all day. And by the time she gets home, not even that, in the morning with her morning schedule to get the kids ready and get everyone out the door, she has no time. No time. Right. But, you know, she still wants to look pretty and feel pretty. So I think this would be good for someone like her. I'm definitely considering sending to her. Subscribe today and save 20% off a 3, 6, or 12-month subscription or your purchase of $30 or more in the Birchbox shop. Birchbox is regularly $10 a month, but when you sign up for the subscription with our code FRIENDZONE, you'll get it for only $8 a month. Just go to birchbox.com/friendzone and use that code FRIENDZONE. That's birchbox.com/friendzone.
Get that box.
So let's jump to English. Let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
Well. I'm giving you a jazzy little well. And support the jazz this week.
Okay, so unless you've been living under a rock, I don't know if you guys even caught, because I know you guys are super busy and traveling this weekend. There was a YouTuber named Logan Paul.
Oh, my God.
That released a video where he went to Japan, and they have this forest that is known for being, trigger warning, y'all, suicide. It's a forest where people go to commit suicide. It's like popular for that. So he thought it would be fun to go with his friends and camp out and to film it as a vlog. And he came across an actual person who had just passed. And instead of turning the cameras off and being like, y'all, you know, let's, number one, let's get help. Turn off the cameras. This is not something you vlog. He decided to film it, laugh with his friends, and post it on YouTube and really make light of a very, very serious situation. So that was number one. What came out of it that I was able to see is that people were really angry about it, rightfully so, but were also sharing a lot of links and numbers for people who may have been triggered, maybe people who have dealt with suicide in their lives, people who are contemplating it themselves. A lot of really nourishing, nurturing information. You know, that's, I always look for the, like, what's the resolve? We can be mad at him, but what's the resolve? And a lot of people kind of came together, a lot of YouTubers, a lot of the big ones, social media people with platforms, and were giving out a lot of really great information. So I caught wind of a project through those conversations called the Buddy Project. And what it is, the website is buddy/project.org. And what it is a nonprofit movement that aims to prevent suicide and self-harm by pairing people as buddies and raising awareness for mental health. The primary focus is children, teens, and young adults, but it's across the globe. And what I love is that it provides positivity, companionship, resources, education in order to reduce the stigma of mental illness, bullying, and negativity on social media. It was created on January 4th. No, actually, as of January 4th, excuse me, they've had 200,000 people have signed up to be paired with a buddy. It was created in April 8th of 2013, actually.
How many people did you just say?
200,000 people have signed up. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And it was just created in 2013. So they're currently working on an app that will pair people as buddies. But the beauty of it is you can go, they have an Instagram, Twitter. If you go on buddies/project.org, you'll find all of their social media. I feel this is extremely important, especially because we've been seeing a rise in younger and younger and younger children committing suicide, suffering from depression. Obviously, we need to make way more of an effort with the dialogue and the way that we're communicating with our kids. I think initiatives like this are an amazing way to get that started. Maybe your kid, I know my little cousins, I've been talking to them more. They just feel really lonely. They feel lonely. They feel rejected, unloved, unworthy, overlooked. And they just feel like no one cares about them. It always comes back to that self-belief. And so I love this initiative because it, a lot of the times you can tell your kid, oh, we'll try to make friends in school. But how do they do that? No one's giving them the tools to do that if people in school aren't even open, just like the hot button issue, to receiving them because maybe they don't look like what they want their friends to be or sound like or come from. Whatever factors play into why kids choose the friends that they choose, popularity, money. And so I think this initiative is awesome because it gives every kid an opportunity to find someone that has their common interests, that just wants to talk about the things they want to talk about. And because it's digital, it can just start really, really genuinely. You know what I mean? It can start genuinely based on everything that you guys want to talk about and share. And then from there, it can blossom to such an awesome relationship. And I think that's really awesome. And once again, that's the Buddy Project, especially for parents that are dealing with kids that are being bullied and you maybe just don't really know what to do. I think this is a great project to latch yourself onto and speak about it with your kids and your young, you know, teens and young adults. And hopefully this will break through not only conversations between you and your kids, but also get them a really cool friend from somewhere around the world that, you know, they might not even get a chance to visit in their lifetime, but now they'll have a friend forever. So I love it. I think it's beautiful. Hopefully you guys check it out. Send it out to everyone you know who has kids, to your siblings, your cousins, your friends' kids. And let's get some blossoming, positive, amazing relationships coming out and being activated by this.
That's right.
Yes. Right? So that's it for this week's wellness segment. Now let's jump on to TV land. What you got for us this week,
come on,
around.
Come on over here. Sit down.
TV land.
Let me take your coat. Well, this week we're going to go straight into it and talk about what let me down and really took the wind out of my sails when it comes to Love & Hip Hop Miami. My excitement for it was so short-lived, and I really believed. After that first episode, I was like, damn, so this really might be, you know, maybe Mona and them have been listening to the things that we've had to say mm-hmm. all these years, and I was just so impressed with the first episode. We make it almost all the way through the second episode, and I'm like, this show is really, like, I can do this. We get to a scene where Gunplay, who is one of the featured cast members, he's a rapper from Miami. For those of you who are familiar with Gunplay and his association with Rick Ross, you know who he is. You know what it's about. So Gunplay and his girlfriend, who already had a little bit of drama in their relationship because she wasn't necessarily excited about moving back to Miami, where she felt he would be more vulnerable to problems, getting involved with the wrong crowd, maybe cheating on her with other women, things like that. So sure enough, he goes back to Miami. He meets up with this girl named Miami Tip, who is a rapper. She used to be apparently a dancer previously, and now she's a rapper. And they dated before and had like a sexual relationship, whatever.
Uh-oh.
So now that he moves back to Miami, he's making music again. He wants to make a song with her, of course, because he feels like she's talented or whatever. He tells his girlfriend that he wants to make a song with her. She says, okay, but his girlfriend doesn't know that him and the girl used to date or whatever.
Uh-oh.
He goes to the studio. The girl hits on him, all these things, pushes up on him, whatever. The girl is actually funny. Her name is Miami Tip, and she's entertaining. But she flirts with him, whatever. And she's like, what, you got a girlfriend or whatever? And he's like, I'm kind of seeing somebody. Mind you, he's in a full-blown relationship. They done moved to Miami. So typical Love & Hip Hop fodder, but still nothing just salaciously, you know, offensively fake or whatever. We get fast forward. He goes back and tells his girlfriend that, hey, you know, I did go meet up with her like we talked about, but she actually did hit on me while we were in the meeting, whatever. Still doesn't tell her they used to date, whatever. Tells her to stay out of it. He can handle himself. His tagline is, I'm going to keep my dick in my dickies. That's his tagline, right? So wow. He tells her he's going to do that. So she says, well, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. She meets up with this girl and one of her friends, and they go to the strip club where the girl is working or performing, whatever. So she's so in her confessional. So Gunplay's girlfriend is so aggressive and so, you know, excited about going to address this girl who, you know, made moves on her man, whatever. And she's got all this angst and this fire. They get there. The Miami Tip girl is like, so who are you or whatever? Oh, you're his girlfriend? I mean, okay. Gunplay's girlfriend is still angry and wanting to fight. Long story short, the Miami Tip girl says, well, now that I know what you look like, you know, she was like, yeah, I did. I didn't care if he had a girlfriend. I did come on to him or whatever. So what? She was like, and now that I know what you look like, I actually would have came on to both of y'all. Which introduces this attraction, you know, to, she hits on the other girl, too. She hits on Gunplay's girlfriend, basically.
I thought she was going to say something mean, so that was a plot twist.
Yeah, it did. We went left, right? Here's where the car steers back around. Immediately, Gunplay's girlfriend starts smirking and, like, looking like, down at the ground and back up at the girl. She's like, what you say, huh? Who you say that? What you say?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you think I'm good, baby? Oh, you think I'm cute? She starts, like, flirting with the girl and laughing. She's clearly flattered. And she likes the fact that somebody thinks she's attractive.
Aww.
It's like it completely shifted, right? Then as she's leaving, she's like, she slaps her butt. She winks at the girl like, uh-huh, baby, yeah, see you later. Smacks her butt and shit. And it was just so weird. And the energy just shifted. But then there's still these confessionals where she's appearing. It was just so fake. And I'm like, just when I thought that I was going to actually be able to enjoy this and there was going to be nothing that was just so blatantly fake, phony, offensively disgusting, whatever, that I won't be able to tolerate this, that's exactly what I was given.
Just when you forgave Yandy's phone?
Just when I put the cord in the phone.
Not the cord in
the phone.
So I'm just over loving Hip Hop Miami. I was already, you know, on a wing and a prayer. Well, a wing stop and a prayer. Shout out to Rick Ross. But I can't do it. That scene, it just took me out. Those of you that watch the show, you know what I'm talking about. I am
done. No, I'm not, because I love Amara La Negra. So I'm going to keep up with her. But everybody else, I just don't care. And Veronica Vega ain't shit for flirting with DJ Hollywood after he said those things about Amara. And she knew what it was.
Who is she?
Veronica Vega is one of the cast members. She's a Latin artist as well.
Okay.
She with Polo.
Yeah, she signed to Polo the Don. Yeah.
She had a song called Pay Me. It was a pretty hot single. A steamy, controversial song.
They played it in clubs a lot.
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Eat a bitch of song.
But yeah, song. So that was it for that. The Real Housewives of Atlanta. The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm tired of the storyline with NeNe and Portia's fallout. It's run its course. I just don't care. If y'all not about to argue like you did in San Francisco and make it exciting when I know that both of you are down for that, this whole playing nice and trying to figure out the friendship thing is boring to watch because there's really no, you know, identifiable cause for their breakdown of their friendship that could be discussed in that way. They don't like each other because they both have two big attitudes and egos, and they cannot handle any type of like criticism or negative talk from anyone else. They're the type of women who are, they're totally fine with being friends and, you know, supporting each other as long as there's no challenge or no issue. The minute there becomes one, then, oh, well, now I hate you, and so let's just go as deep as we can go. So if y'all gonna do that, that's cool. Just go ahead and do it so we can be entertained. Otherwise, I don't care about you sorting your issues out. I'm really excited and entertained watching Cynthia Bailey date on this show. I think finally somebody gets a fucking divorce and enjoys being single on the show.
Right.
So it's been good to watch that. And that's basically it for reality TV. A couple other things came on, but ain't nothing we gonna talk about other than the Golden Globe Awards this year. And I actually want to loop Asante on into the conversation about the Golden Globes.
I actually missed the Golden Globes because I was coming back from Atlanta.
Oh. But yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I did get to see some highlights. I got to see, you know, future presidential candidate, apparently, Oprah Winfrey. Right. President O, Big O. I saw the speech. I thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Even to see the people react, like to see a room. Well, first off, obviously Oprah's always going to kill, but to always see the room of the Globes is always like something amazing. Like to watch like Angelina Jolie and even like all the strong black women in the room react to Oprah's words was like amazing. It was nuts. So that was all I got to really see. I didn't get to go back and see who won what or any of the looks. I got to see what Issa was wearing. Issa and Yvonne, they looked good as fuck.
Everybody looked great in all the black that they wore in solidarity. We can't talk this week, but they wore those black in solidarity. Yes. It was just great.
Ava DuVernay, when the black was good, I was like, everybody looking good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's black night. You know, black folks
Lisa Wright had a black dress on.
Stop it.
I didn't even watch, and I already knew.
What you going to do? Everybody, as soon as I found out they was all wearing black, I was like, everybody in Lisa Ray's house is finna turn around and look at it. What you going to do, bitch? Okay, so what you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Please. Because
you know Lisa Ray only wears white.
They're gonna be like, please, they know who I am.
As soon as they said, well, we weren't wearing black and that's why we wearing it, everybody looked at Lisa Ray. Bitch, what you gonna do, bitch?
She has to always stunt at the white party.
Okay,
like, because
crisp.
She wears white all the time. At the white party, she always has to show up.
Has she ever spoken on it, or is it just like an unspoken thing?
She's spoken about it that she's addressed it like, yes, I only wear white. Right. That's my favorite color. I just like it. That's what she wears.
That's commitment.
Mm-hmm. I remember when she was on Hip Hop Squares, and she was going against the Brat, and you know they related.
So are they sisters?
They mm-hmm. are sisters.
No.
Right?
Yes. No.
They're like half sisters.
Who is Samora's sister? Nia Long. Yes, the Brat and Lisa. Lisa Ray are sisters. Yeah. That is correct.
So Lisa Ray said that she won on the episode that DeBrat was going to have to wear white for a week. I hope there's photos of that because I know that she did.
What did she have on? You know DeBrat was looking like Quilted Northern. What did she have on? She had on DeBrat had on Steve Harvey's New Year's Eve outfit.
First of all, that was not a bad outfit. Why were people making fun of it? It was just a hat and a coat with a belt.
Exactly.
Asante is down for the count.
Steve Harvey had on separates.
What was wrong with that outfit?
Itself. First of all, they said he looked like Olivia Pope, which was hilarious to me.
That's a nice look, though.
You know, he's sitting up there in a J-Lo hat and, you know, a Diane von Furstenberg wrap coat, a white wrap coat.
Tank.
Not a rap.
Where's Tank?
But that's it. So that's all I have in TV land. You know, we're going to go ahead and cut the cable off and move on over to the music.
Woo! So much, so many random things have been happening in music land, but I've been in my own little music la-la land. Mm-hmm. So shout out to everybody that has been showing me love for December Diddy Bops. I'm glad that it got to run its course over these past couple of weeks. The new January playlist is currently being worked on. A lot of people that I talked about last year, I'm bringing back for this year just to see, hopefully... just to see if they're going to be doing something cool. Before I start, I would like to also shout out She Nice, or Shanice, Tweet's daughter. She tweeted, or somebody was tweeting that. I was talking about her last week, and she tweeted. She actually just put out a song last month, so everybody go check her out. The music is actually available on Spotify, Apple Music, all the big platforms, because she is putting music out in mainstream platforms, so you don't have to just go to SoundCloud.
All right.
The song is called Hit and Run. And for those of you that are still on SoundCloud, unfortunately, I do not make my playlist on SoundCloud. They do the SoundCloud Go thing now, where I think everybody's albums are available, but I still don't think that the selections are as wide for mainstream albums and projects on SoundCloud, even though the remixes and shit be popping on there. Anyway, again, Shanice dropped Hit and Run. It's like an alternative R&B song. Just check her out. She's Tweet's daughter. She's talented as fuck. Somebody else I want to put y'all on
She
to.
Can sing. I know that for a fact.
She has to. Yes. I'm excited.
So we talked about a few things last week. We talked about visuals and videos and that being a thing.
Psychic
and eras.
Psychic Friends Network. We're changing our name.
So Bruno Mars dropped the Finesse remix with America's Sweetheart, Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
The Look, A1.
Era.
Era.
Hello.
Yep.
And then Living Color.
I'm completely satisfied with the video.
Can I say what would have been dope, though?
Mm-hmm.
J-Lo. If J-Lo had come
if she would have popped up on them with the Fly Girl set.
The original Fly Girl.
Man, that would have been lit.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been super lit. But yes, yeah, I definitely was doing? Pleased. Look, I ain't your mama.
All lives matter. Oh, you know she was one of them All Lives Matter motherfuckers. I ain't forgot.
She deleted it. Okay.
I did. Screenshot. Okay.
Video shot. Now.
I ain't forgot,
shit.
Jennifer. And that's the second time she done got on down from the movement, because you remember what she did to Puffy. When the shit was messed up and hit the fan.
Don't
everybody remember
up,
how
teams.
She ran on down, eased on. She was the original Dorothy in the Wiz. That's what she eased on down the road. Soon as Puffy caught that charge, Jennifer eased on down the road. That's what she did, and I ain't forgot. Now, she cool or whatever, and she didn't gave a lot to style. And, you know, she was one of the original Fly Girls, and she is unmatched when it comes to, like, looking good. And she's a talented actress, and she makes dope music. But the North remembers.
Asante, please. Please. Take it away.
Hell no.
Let's be clear.
Yes, Cardi B looked great in the Finesse video. It was a great moment for both of them, actually, because... Mm-hmm. I really like Bruno Mars. I really don't like... This is going to sound terrible because I just said I like him. I don't. He's not somebody I check for consistently or regularly, but he does not make a song that I hate. Like, he's always made some really cool music. So I like that he's incorporated Cardi B and really just done this, like, nostalgic thing that we really fuck with, because that's kind of what he's been doing in different ways. But even just watching him dance to his music is really dope. Like... Whatever the video was way back when he was making, like, the music to the ukulele and it was everybody dancing in the room and they had on, like, the monkey mask or something, like, that was cool as hell. Like, he's always doing something really cool and nostalgic, even on, in any vein.
The so, monkey mask.
Yeah, they were wearing, like...
His H&M campaign.
Also, so did anybody listen to Justin Timberlake? He dropped a new track called Filthy.
I'm so glad you brought it up. Because I think I'm the only person in the world that likes it.
You might be right.
I like it.
I don't dislike
I like it.
There are
I'm
moments.
Just underwhelmed. Sorry.
I can give you that.
There are parts of it that I like. Like, I really started to get, like, a Future Sex Love feel from it.
Almost.
And then it kind of...
Like a reboot.
Like a Burrell boot. It was standing upright at first.
God damn
it. You know, it was sounding good. I was rooting for it. And then it just
damn
all came tumbling it. Down. So it was like a Burrell boot.
I guess there is nothing else to say about Justin Timberlake.
No, wait. Y'all really didn't like it.
Like I said, you know, the Future Sex Love sound maybe was starting to get me.
In a couple of years.
Maybe. I don't think it's going to get me. But what I will tell you is maybe it'll grow on me. Or it, actually, it could potentially get me. I just need to know what the rest of the project is or what it is. Because right. if I need to hear it alongside whatever the next track is to understand why the parts of it sounded the way it was or whatever. Like, because I think once I can feel like if an artist is trying to give me a lot of the same production, but in different ways on a project, I can be like, all right, I can see you trying to tell the same story in a different way, and I can get that. And I think that's why with Future Sex Love Sound, every track was completely different. Mm-hmm. But you know that they were the same because they all had, like, those two sides in the story, so you knew what kind of thing you were going to get.
First of all, I thought the production was amazing.
Yes.
Whether you like the lyrics or the song, I understand. I agree with Dustin. I think the fact that he's been gone for, what, like 5 years or something? Yeah. To come out the gate, I get it.
No, he just had that Sunshine in My Pocket song.
Well, it was a soundtrack, but I mean like an album, like his album, right. You know, his sound. I get it, but I liked it. I think if you really, really blast it in your house and dance around to it, it's a great fucking song. It feels good, has great energy. It's fun. I love the video. I think it's right on pulse as far as like robots and Sophia. And then here comes this robot breaking it down. And
I didn't watch the video. I got to watch the video.
Yeah. And the video to me, there's my favorite part of the video is actually when the robot is coming down the stairs. It's so dope to me. Like the robot was like swaggy. Like the way that his legs was popping to the beat. I was like, how can people think this is wet?
See, I got
to
watch the video.
So dope. The video really, I think, helps it. I mean, at least it did for me. I don't know.
I mean, that's
I thought it was cool.
But that's how the game used to go. I used to feel like people would drop until a song and then people video. Would be like, I gotta watch the video.
And it would change the whole perspective.
Yes.
And I will say, and let's see if this is what it is, or I could be totally off. I low-key feel that he's trolling us with this Man of the Woods. Because how you doing a trailer with you running with horses and then the first video is futuristic. Like, what
Yo,
if
I seen
he totally played us and made a fake trailer, fake branding, fake vibe? Obviously, this could be not true at all, but I think that would actually be kind of cool.
Right.
If he had you thinking he's going to come, like, with horses running and rivers and bonfires, like a Free People ad.
Right.
And then, boom, it's not. It's totally, right. What is it? Sex, what is it? I forgot the name.
Future Sex Love Sounds.
Future Love, you know, like a reboot of that where he's coming on some Sophia the Robot.
He brings sexy back for real.
Dancing and totally fuck us up. I actually think that would have been genius marketing. Because people were making fun of him, talking about he's going back to his white man roots. And
I saw that. I was like, it's too soon to say, y'all.
I know. But I'm like, you know, whatever.
But, you know, really, he ain't got no white man roots. I mean, he do have his pop moments, but he, you know, still always got to, you know, give it up.
A little
to
R&B, a little soul. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see what it comes out. But low-key feel like that would have been genius if that was what he's doing. Where it's absolutely not what you think it is.
I thought it was about Omarosa. I think it would have been genius to have Omarosa in all the promo. She's a man of the woods. It's like she came out of, you know, that's what I immediately thought about Omarosa when I read the title.
No. Kendrick and SZA dropped All the Stars.
I ain't like that either.
Man, can I just say
TDE
drop? And I will say it was lackluster for me.
It was lowercase. The TDE was in all lowercase letters for me. I just didn't.
It was lackluster for me. I love both of them.
I expected more.
Expected way
more. Considering that they're both such powerhouses in the industry at this point. They have access to top music, top producers. I definitely. But I also was like, is it because it is on a soundtrack where they got to give you that sort of cinematic, you know, theatrical sound? It's not really like a SZA Kendrick song,
right?
If that makes sense. They have to keep in mind that they're scoring.
And the type of film it is, too.
The type of film, it's huge. People have been waiting for it. So, you know, you have to be mindful, too, of the purpose of the song.
I can see and understand all of that. Because, you know, I think about that Rihanna song. For that movie,
Boov.
Was it that one? And,
isn't it
and she would sing the song, I Hit a Wall. It was for, no, that was for like the Transformer soundtrack or something.
Boov.
No, you talking about Home.
Yes.
You're such a boof. That was a cute movie. I got high and saw that.
I love that movie.
No, but there was some movie like over the past couple years. Oh, I think it was like Star Wars or something. And she had the song.
I don't remember.
And the song was like, I don't know. It sounded like it would have been like a throwaway for a Batman soundtrack, but it was for this movie. And I was like, you know what? It's a movie song, so I'm going to just, it just ain't for me. But it'll probably sound real good for the credits. And it did, because I think I saw the movie and I was like, oh, this is the damn Rihanna song.
And sometimes that happens. Like, think of like Celine Dion Titanic vibes. You know, it's like sometimes they just have to have that song. It's the cinematic.
That was a good
even
song.
Though that was going to say
that was a song for your ass.
Okay, bad example.
Because you know what?
That song was
because you know what else is
a
huge?
Bodyguard with
what used to be huge is when people would like be the Bond girls and whatever the Bond song would be. Like if someone landed one of those, I feel like that used to be like a moment. Like, all right, such and such dropped the song for the Bond Bond soundtrack. It's like 007 and like Madonna. Die Another Day, she had one of the songs.
True.
And it was still like Madonna and right. Poppy as fuck and cool as fuck, but it went perfectly right into a movie.
I wish they would use the end of Six Inch in the James Bond movie by Beyonce. That song, when she hits some notes at the end, it just makes me think about a James
Bond
movie.
That is literally perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, that has come up a million times and I want that to happen. Mm-hmm. I want there to
my
be
God,
a...
listen back. I can't remember how it goes.
Six Inch Heels?
The part that y'all talking
it's
about.
Like, yeah. Like,
I love that you.
There
understand.
Needs to be a black James Bond, and Beyonce needs to be the Bond girl. Have the Bond song for the soundtrack.
Diddy and Beyonce.
Ooh,
isn't Taraji coming out with a like Bond type movie where she's like some kind of
Proud
agent?
Mary?
Proud
Mary, right?
That look more like Jackie.
Jackie.
What's the movie?
Jackie
with Pam Grier.
Like
oh,
Shaft?
Foxy Brown. Oh.
Foxy Brown.
I got
she
you.
She was a... Oh, no.
Blaxploitation soundtrack.
Well, no. It was just like a... Well, this was...
I'm just ready to watch Taraji be a badass. It's always good seeing her in those roles where she's just kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, because I liked
can't
her.
Wait.
I liked her in that movie where she was an assassin with
what was
Alicia
it called?
Keys.
It's on the tip of my tongue. She was a lesbian in
something
the movie.
Spades or something.
Yeah,
I remember.
Shit.
Ocean's 8. Is going to be
oh, it's going to be amazing,
bonkers. I'm actually really excited. Clearly. Rihanna, Mindy Kaling,
all the bitches is going to be serving it up. That ad, when I first saw that ad, I was like, they're all
that
gonna
is
fuck
so fucking cool, man.
Man,
imagine filming that. Even the poster, someone made a fake poster. It was like all of them walking down the street. It was fake. I looked it up because I got gassed, but I was like, that's a dope ass poster, though. I would buy that. But you know what? I'm going to hold off on my opinion until I see Black Panther, because hearing SZA and Kendrick in that moment might make you fucking cry. You probably right. be there like, this is amazing.
Right.
Let's not be rigid.
Right. Kendrick
Let's
exactly.
be malleable.
And you know what? I am very much that way with my music, because
yeah.
I forgot to mention before, one piece of music that I just was like, this ain't for me. I'm not doing this. Fifth Harmony. When those young women first came out, I remember thinking like, right, I'm like, why would I? They don't make music for my age demographic. Like, I'm not listening to these girls. They are not doing nothing for me. I've had my share of girl groups. I'm not even in that phase no damn more. But then Work came out with fucking Ty Dolla $ign, and I was like, this is a fucking bop. And then I saw the video, and they were all doing their little choreography. I was like, okay. Now, I will say it did not make me go out and buy no album, because people were still like, you should listen to the Fifth Harmony album. And I was like, okay, maybe. And I did not.
No.
They dropped a girl, and they still like kept, held my interest when they knocked the girl off the damn stage on the award show. Yo,
another
I said,
job they could have gave to Omarosa. Why didn't they put her up there and let them push Omarosa off the back of that stage? That would have been perfect.
Because they were scared she was going to jump off and try to sue. She was going to try to act like her ankle was hurt, just like she did to Kwame on okay. Celebrity Apprentice back then, or Regular Apprentice, excuse me. But yes, I just think that it's like Fifth Harmony, they were not making music for anything for me, but I heard a song and I was like, all right, this has elements and things that I like, and they're doing it right, so like I'm gonna like this song. So I always tell myself, don't count them out,
you know, because
I always say with Nicki,
time and a place. Sometimes.
Even with Nicki, I don't count her out, even though she doesn't give me what I want from her as an artist. I still leave her room to be her artist and
yeah.
like do what she's gonna do.
Very true. And a time and a place. You ever been on vacation and heard a song and you like, oh, like it just fits. Sometimes it has to fit. a scenario for you to really catch it.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because this next song that I want to mention is actually an older song, and it fit a scenario, okay?
It's like you're about to start singing. This next song. Now, this next tune.
Now, this one coming up, I wrote out on a rainy day. No, the song that I'm about to bring up is by an artist named Young Scooter.
Okay.
I was at the strip club in Atlanta this weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of scenarios.
Yeah, let me tell you the scenario. So first of all, let me just say the strip club is the best place to hear records,
yes,
right?
Yes, Lord.
Hello, DJs break records at strip
records,
clubs.
Break records. So let me tell you, if you can't get to a strip club, you know, your car is the best place to listen to music next to that. But the strip club, I'll tell you. Whenever the girls, because I was there and I was like, yeah, I have to spend money because I'm at the strip club, even though I'm just here for the chicken, I still want to participate.
Did y'all go Onyx?
No, we went to Gold Rush.
Oh, nice.
Now, whenever a song that I liked or really fucked with came on and went off in the club, I said, okay, I have to have a dance or I need to like be tipping. So Bartier Cardi came on and I had a moment to it because the girl who was dancing was doing all sorts of pole tricks. Shout out to you. I wish I would have got your name. I gave you a lot of money. I hope you used it wisely or on whatever you wanted, and I hope it made you feel good. Anyway, Bartier Cardi came on. I was like, this is a fucking track. Like, I love this song. I'm so glad it happened. After that, I remember saying, I'm not going back to the ATM because it's a $7 fee and I'm not doing that. So this Young Scooter song came on. And the song is called Jug King, J-U-G-G King. And it just took me back to the thought of, you know, Jug King. It took me back to high school. It took me back to, you know, the white tee era, all that. And so to be at the strip club, and, you know, he rapping, he's like, I do what I want, you do what you can. Like, you know, talking about being the boss. Ooh. So, like,
bars.
So I'm sitting up here. You know, with all this money, just putting all this money on this woman, and she is going the fuck off, and she really looking at me like, I do what I want, you do what you can, like, and I was like, this is the fucking hit, because she loving it, and I'm loving it, like, this is a song, it's a hit, if everybody loves it, and it goes off like that, you can't deny it, it's undeniable.
It's a moment.
So, Young Scooter, the song has been out, it came out, like, in July of last year, I think he dropped his project, but Young Scooter dropped Jug King, and it is my favorite, it's something hot that I love. And this is a good time to kick off listens lately, so you all can tell me what you've been listening to as well.
What have I been listening to? You know what? I've been listening to Bjork.
Yeah?
I'm just in a Bjork.
Yes, Lord.
Mode. But she has a song called Lion Song. Do you know it?
Mm-mm.
Because I know you listen to Bjork. She has a song called Lion Song, but she did it live. I actually wish that I had which album that was, but it's you. I mean, if you go on Spotify and just type Lion Song live, it'll pop right up, and it's the whole album, obviously, that she did live. But I just love it. I've had it on repeat. It's an old ass song, nothing new about it. But I love the lyrics. It kind of actually ties into the hot button issue,
exactly,
in a way, because she's telling in the song, she's saying that she's gonna let him go and come back, and if he doesn't feel the same, she has to be okay with it. And it's just being malleable with a relationship, not, you know, like, taking shape how it needs to. Him taking shape, he's growing, he's learning, he's experiencing, maybe he doesn't see you the same way. And just, like, letting him grow into what he needs to grow and not being, like, selfish and trying to hold on to what you want him to be. And so it's just cool. It's a great vibe. Bjork is just fascinating. Obviously, me and Dustin were saying last time, you must look up the lyrics. Mm-hmm. You might not catch it the first go around. But once you do catch the lyrics and you listen again, that theme of being malleable keeps coming up for me. Like, heavy. Even in songs, I notice I'm, like, resonating with it more. About staying open, not having such rigid ideals, I guess, of who I am and what I want. And just, like, you know, being more free for things to take shape how they need to for Fran to be, like, the best version of herself in every chapter.
Yes.
So that's kind of, I've had that on repeat. I know my neighbor hates me. Yo, I know she's like, bitch.
I bet
that's like the 75th time. You know when you get that song? Do y'all do that?
Of course. Yes.
But I mean, for like days where it's the only song, you just play it over and over and over and over. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I've done that.
Until you get sick.
Yep.
Where you can't even listen to it no more. Yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
I've been listening to Jesse Smollett's new single, Freedom.
Oh, shit.
It's amazing. It's the first. He's got two more singles coming out, but he's been doing like a press run with it now, and it's available on all the platforms. It's absolutely amazing. His voice sounds great. I'm really excited about his new music. So I've been listening to Jesse Smollett's new single. Also, there's a girl named Doja Cat. I hope I'm saying her name.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's dope as fuck.
Well, I had a moment, and I was introduced to that song she has called So High from like way back in the day.
Yeah, that song is...
And I saw the video. So like, I'm on board now. Mm-hmm. I like her like a lot.
And her whole look, have you seen her? Yeah, like, she's cool as fuck.
Yeah, and I like the lyrics to her song. There was another song she was playing where it was talking about a relationship. I can't remember any lyrics that would make you like maybe jog your memory, but it was just great.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really impressed with her. And
I'm glad you brought it up. She's dope.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought
her up. That's like an LA gem.
Yep, Doja Cat.
Also, I want to shout out Alina Baraz. She dropped a song, Buzzin'.
She related to Jason.
No, Baraz with a B, not Maraz, who I actually loved when I was younger. I used to listen to that nigga on like mini disc player. Anyway, Alina Baraz dropped a song called Buzzin', and she has a visual with it too. And I really, really like her. She dropped a mixtape or something, but that was like many moons ago, and it was like Alina Baraz and Galantis or something like that. But
ooh,
she makes like really trippy, cool, like a law high firm music.
Oh my God.
Alina Baraz and Galantis.
I'm hoping I'm saying any of these fucking names right. Alina Baraz and Galantis. So I'm hoping.
At your side.
she's like a really, really vibey artist. She recently put out a song with Khalid called Electric. But before that, she put out a project called Urban Flora, which I really, really fucked with. So check out Alina Baraz, get into some of her old stuff, because I feel like after watching her video, maybe she's going to give us more this time. Because sometimes artists just give us a little bit and then they disappear for a while, which I actually do not hate. I miss the era of artists, like big artists that we have, dropping a project once every like 3 or 4 years.
When they have something to say.
Right. Not just because they need to get out these deals and all that bull.
It's a press run. And yeah.
I miss those days.
My last one is techno.
Okay, give it to me.
No, not techno music.
Y'all
looking at me like,
we had opened up. We had opened up to it. We was like, okay.
I appreciate that y'all open to receiving. Y'all looked at me like,
okay.
No,
shit, hell yeah.
Oh my God, I wish y'all could see the dance they just did. I can't say y'all.
And they're doing that goth dance.
That goth
from
dance
Vine.
The arms from Vine.
Shit.
No, it's Afrobeat.
Oh yeah.
And his name is Techno, but he spells it with a K. It's T-E-K-N-O. Y'all, he has a song called B-E, and a song called Yawa that I have not been able to stop playing. Y'all.
Ain't that God's Listen name or something?
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Hey.
Y'all, tell me this ain't a vibe.
Makes you wanna flirt.
Don't it? Sassy's over here. Look. Ooh. So it's cold outside right now, and this just gives me like a nice, warm, flirty summer vibe where you're just like walking through the street. You see that cutie that y'all lock eyes with. It's just, you know, it's that vibe.
Yes.
And I love it. I love feeling like summer all year round. I try my best.
Man.
But
okay.
Please check out Techno. He is dope. Like, that's just one of my favorite songs of his, but literally his whole shit, his whole discography is dope. Shout out to Afrobeat.
I'm gonna check him out.
Check him out. He's dope, yo.
The last person I want to shout out, and then I'm gonna close out the segment. Piff Marti, P-I-F-F Marti, M-A-R-T-I. He will be performing on January 11th at the Paperbox NYC. For those of you who don't know who he is, which will probably be most of you, I put him on my December Diddy Bops playlist, and there was a song on there called Represent that he did. He's putting out some songs from his project. He has another track called 4 Years. You can look up his music on YouTube, iTunes, all the places. And if you are familiar with the track and you want to see him live, he's going to be at Paperbox. That's Paperbox NYC. You can go to majorstage.com to get tickets. And again, that's on January 11th. And the paper box is right in Brooklyn, 17 Meadow Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11206. And that is it here over at the Music Man. I will get back to you all next week about the January playlist.
Ooh, what's the name?
I haven't decided yet. I didn't start in January of last year with my playlist, so I feel like I should, like, make them all alliteration. Ooh, or, like, cute. You know, I'll be, like, JJ, FF, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, it's a new year, so maybe I should branch out of that. But I want to complete my cycle of 12, because I feel like it's corny, and I got to finish that first. So maybe in, like, March, instead of March Moodness or whatever, I'm going to make it something different.
Cute. Oh, and I think I may have said the song. I said Yahweh. I think it's Yahweh. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yahweh?
Y'all correct me. I think it's Look, Yahweh.
Y'all going to do it anyway, so let us
How
know.
Is it spelled?
I think it's Yahweh. Y-A-W-A, but I think it's like Yahweh.
Because Yahweh, that means like God's name or something like that.
Yeah, but I don't know
That's
the song.
That's why I was like, well, what is this about? Is this Sunday music or what?
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, this nigga didn't make the Greenleaf theme song?
Oh, my God.
Yahweh.
Oh, man. All right, so moving right
don't
along.
Don't laugh away from the mic. I'm done.
Thanks again to Talkspace for supporting today's episode of The Friend Zone. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment into your life? Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. Send your therapist text, audio, and video messages, or even do a live video chat. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgments. Talkspace therapists are fully licensed and go through a rigorous screening process in addition to thousands of hours of supervised professional training. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/friendzone and use code FRIENDZONE to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's code FRIENDZONE at Talkspace.com/friendzone. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.
As per usual, don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com.
Yo, the Greenleaf theme song is amazing. Okay, who could re-sing? Who could redo the Greenleaf theme song?
You do it.
Okay, no, bonus
what
icebreaker.
Yes.
Bonus icebreaker. Who can do it perfectly?
India Ari. Oh, you know what? If I'm going to play then, Anthony Hamilton.
I don't even know if this person can sing, but you know who I feel like really could do it? Aunt Bertha from the OLG.
Candy's
on. I don't even know if she can sing, but she just looked like she could hold that. She could hold that part down. I'm telling you. Aunt Bertha holding that wooden spoon.
Oh, the person I was on the stage just passed. Oh, I was, you know what? Asante, so what's the
Where are we at, friend?
Asking for a friend.
What they want to know?
Which is what you guys want to know from us. Ooh. Asante, what you got for us today?
Ooh. All right, y'all. I'm going to stall for another second because I don't feel like this is over.
Heavy as the head.
I don't feel like this is over.
Heavy as the head, y'all. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I guess it's not a miss.
This has been a long-ass episode, so I'm going to find, like, I have a good, short, hopefully, potentially, question.
Okay.
Shout out to Nancy. The subject is hashtag 2018 goals. Moving out and moving up. Sorry, Nancy. Give me just a second, because I just have been dying this entire time, and I just don't want it to happen no more. Anyway, all right. Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Oh, you too.
I just want to know, when did you all realize it was time to move out from the parents' crib and really start this adult life? I'm assuming most of your listeners are 20 to 35 years old, trying to move up in the world, and with the new year upon us, it'll be nice to hear your thoughts. I'm 27 and planning to move out this year. Finally, my Dukes, for some reason, never liked the thought of me actually moving out. But I guess it's a little harder because she does depend on me for a lot. I want my own space for more peace of mind, but also because I'm 27 and it's not fun inviting people, especially lovers, when mom is around. How can I let her know she will have to let go of this grip and I can support her as much as possible, even if we're not under the same roof? I'd love to hear your experiences and challenges. Thanks. New year, better me.
I think it's always hard, especially, I don't know if, did she mention it was a single parent?
Yeah, she did not.
Oh, no. Well, from my situation, it was a single parent. So that was like rough. Yes. Like, it was just me and my mom my whole life. So she took it personal at first. I mean, but she took it personal when I wanted to leave for college. She was just like, what do you mean? Going where? So I think college actually kind of help wean her off of me being in the house. Like, she got used to it. And then what actually took me out of my house, though, was a relationship when I just, like, moved out of New York. But when I came back to New York and then I moved out, my mom was actually really supportive because I was cool. I was older, I was a creative, and my mom understood that when you're a creative, sometimes your apartment needs to feel creative in mm-hmm. a way that she wouldn't have necessarily been able to support. Like, equipment, you know, here I am filming YouTube videos, a camera, the light, the umbrella lights, like, in the middle of the living room, and all the things that you need, even if maybe sometimes you leave certain things on the floor that looks chaotic, but to you, you know exactly why it's there. Right. Mm-hmm. Even just artistically, there was art I wanted up. There was colors I wanted the wall to be. There were plants I wanted. I wanted a certain bed, a certain dining room table, you know, like.
And, you know, your mom could just be like, no.
Exactly. It's her home. You're not going to change up her crib. So I think it was a very natural thing of, like, I'm ready to express myself. And obviously lovers and having people over, that's a big portion of it too, because I wanted my privacy. I was, like, growing up and a woman. Okay. And, you know, you're not going to be in the bedroom with your mom next door, like, hearing all that shit. So that was, yeah, I think it was just a natural progression. I will say, though, it's hard at first. But then, at least for the parent, it might be a little hard. But then I think you guys get along better. Mm-hmm. You kind of start seeing each other as adults. I think my mom, like, saw me grinding and paying my rent and was like, oh, my God, look at my little kid, like, out here, you know, supporting herself as a creative. And then I was able to see her as, like, a woman. Not my mom that I'm under her household, but, like, a homie, like, calling each other to go to dinner and to go hang. And it's like our relationship morphed in a really cool way where now we were two women who were getting to know each other outside of the parameters of mother and daughter. It was just like, what are the things you like to do? Think about it. You don't, when you live at home, you don't really want to spend time outside with your parents because you see them already in the house. So when you no longer in the house, you actually have to learn each other. Like, what kind of shit do you like to do? What do you like to see? And then it's cool. Almost like you're not in a creepy way, but like you're like dating, you know, like you're like getting to know each other like as people. And I think it's cool. It's actually an awesome shift.
Well, I think that hurting your mom or dad's feelings or disappointing them is something that feels kind of unnatural.
Yeah.
So it's always difficult to, you know, do something that you know is going to hurt them. It's also challenging when you feel a sense of accountability for, like, your decision making to your parents. So you don't want to do something dumb or do something that you feel like they won't be proud of. Mm. And so it's kind of hard for you to take the initiative and make that move. But if you're 27 and most importantly, you can afford to sustain yourself in your own house, then I think it's a great idea because the growth that you'll experience will be so beneficial to just your life and the way that things turn out for you. So I say go and move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that you just have to, again, this is if you can afford to do that, because sometimes it makes so much more sense to stay at your parents' house a little longer and set yourself up financially for success.
Definitely.
So if you're at the point where you can do that, then just move. And it's one of those things that you have to literally just decide to do and go ahead and follow through with it. And you just have to remember that you're an adult and you kind of can set your own rules and set the terms for your life. And if you do want to move, you can do that. There's nothing wrong with you doing it. So
I think once you learn how to kind of harness your own power a little bit, it'll be easier for you to do this. And then after the first time, it gets so easy. After that, you really kind of start. You'd be like, girl, you stop going places you don't want to go. Be like, I am not going over there. You're open about it. You know what I mean? So it's great.
I remember the first time when you, after you move, that, because normally you got to check in with your parents, and now you don't have to call nobody.
No damn body.
You get home at 4 in the morning if you feel like it.
Eating drunk as hell.
Drunk as hell, bringing whoever you want to bring.
And let's not forget the best part, walking around naked.
Oh my God. What?
Cook whatever you want. You don't got to worry about your parents talking about, what we eating, or I made this. This is what's for dinner. It's right. Like, well, damn, I want it. It's like, well, you should have cooked
when
that.
You want.
With all of that said, my advice, take your freedom and run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sit down with your mama and tell her, you know, Mom, I just left from signing my lease. I will be moving out shortly. I love you, girl. You know, you can call me anytime. When I was young, you told me I could come and talk to you about anything. You can come and talk to me about anything, whenever. You just got to call me first. Okay? You can call me. I'll come here. I can take care of you from where I'm going to be at. You still my mother. I love you. Like, you don't have to ask your mom to move out. I know that seems fucked up, but you don't have to ask her to move out.
You don't.
You're at that age to where you've been doing whatever you want to do. Now it's time to take that final step and do it under your own roof. And that is understandable, and that is okay. And you are ready to do that, so do that. It's nothing like having that security of home, you know, with your mom. Because you know that you're saving so much money. But, you know, like Dustin said, it's nothing like walking around the house naked. Your own house. And then just relishing in the fact that you're paying your own bills and you're doing your own thing and you're not with your parents or with anybody because you're by yourself doing it. You get to do it, all of it. And there's the power in that.
And you know what? I don't know if y'all agree. It also puts a little bit of a fire in your ass
and what?
A huge battery in your back.
Because you said, I ain't never going back.
And you got to sustain now. Sometimes you get a little comfy. Not everyone, but you get a little bit comfy because you have the cushion and the netting of your parents. But now it's like, okay, rent, utilities,
okay,
you know what I mean? Like, all the groceries and getting on the train, or if you have a car, like...
toiletries, cleaning toiletries, stuff.
Dishes. It gets so real. Washing your dishes, your
picking
sheets.
Your dishes. Picking your towels.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Picking your sheets.
Okay.
Like,
remember when you move in, you have not one thing. You have to start from scratch.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's overwhelming, but it puts a fire in back that's so necessary for your development.
Yes.
Yep.
Yay.
All
Hope
right.
That helps.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Look like and, you need to get some boxes, girl.
And I say all that coming from the same, along with friend. Like, you know, I had a single parent. And I was leaving my mom. I remember leaving Atlanta like, damn, I am leaving her into a whole complete different city. Like, my mother probably thinks I am the worst son in the world. But I did it, and she literally cried for, like, that first time. Like, she didn't cry until the airport. Like, the whole time she was supporting me, and at the airport is when we had our moment. I was like, I can't believe
I'm leaving her. Because it hit her.
But then, you know, she didn't want to do that because she didn't want to keep me. She didn't want me to feel, like, guilty about staying.
Aww.
And I thought that was dope. She wanted me to, like, come out here and spread my wings.
She said, spread your wings and prepare to fly.
Come on. Come on, butterfly. Give it to me.
Right.
All right, that is it for that segment. Again, I'm going to give you the email because people still ask me for the email. Keep singing, Fran.
No, go ahead.
You sure? I really want you to keep singing. Mm-mm. All right, the email is thefriendzoneofloudspeakersnetwork.com. Okay, can you... I was going to ask if you could sing while I'm talking so it could be like my background music, like my undertone. Right. It could be the Friend Zone score.
Oh, my God.
Like, all right, so now we're going to move on to the Black Business of the Week. You know, we love the Black Business of the Week segment because we get to highlight all of our favorite things that
it's like
are
ASMR.
I'm not about to get you started. I'm about to wrap this up real quick. Black Business of the Week. Again, I give out the email. If you have a business or somebody that you want to highlight or something you think that we all need to know about, even if it's something that's in your community that means a lot and you want to send us pictures or anything, things that you vet. And a lot of the time we want to promote brick and mortar. We want to promote online. We want to promote trusted. We want to promote all sorts of brands.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like that we get to do whatever we want with the segment. And I want to highlight people and things that they are doing in the community. With that said, Kyle Rosenbaum emailed into the show. He is a businessman out of Newark, and he's launching a Black Boys Camp. Again, Kyle Rosenbaum, he
is starting the first ever camping event for young black professionals, and it's to develop career skills, enjoy outdoor activities, and you get to bond over a brotherhood.
So cute.
The camp is August 31st to September 2nd, 2018, so you have more than enough time to plan, but the tickets are only just now going to go on sale this coming Monday, January 15th. They're going to be at blackboyscamp.com. And it's the it's a Labor Day weekend event, and it's going to be held upstate New York at Adirondack Park. Adirondack State
so
Park.
So dope, y'all.
Yeah, so they're going to be doing all sorts of, like, outdoor events. They're going to have a variety of sessions, like old money versus new money, building generational wealth, you know, grill master, how to throw down at your next family cookout. So there's, like, really fun events, really serious events. And then you get to bond with all sorts of black men and black boys of other ages. So if you want more information, you can contact them at info@blackboyscamp.com. But if you want to just go on ahead and check out tickets and even more information and you don't have any questions, just go to blackboyscamp.com. So I wanted to highlight that. Thanks so much to Kyle Rosenbaum for doing that. I think he's working with people. Or it says here that he's working with people from Train Your Talents, Ace Content, The Griot, Afrotrack. So all sorts of companies that are in businesses, ranging from like marketing, finance, and then like I said, The Griot, even like your favorite website to get your favorite think pieces and news. The Griot is more than think pieces. I'm not going to do that to them. So that's it for the Black Business of the Week. You know, people had a lot to say about that think piece thing I said last week. Yes.
Uh-oh.
They were talking about, well, think pieces is for this and that. And let me say this. I should have said this earlier in the episode. I remember, the North remembers.
Come on, come on.
In the newspaper where there's like a journalist corner or even in magazines where like the editors have their letters, all that stuff. So there are plenty of places that think pieces do end up in editorials and stuff like that. But as far as when they come across on websites, I hate when they come up on websites as news. That's what I have a problem with think pieces. You can have all your points and your opinions, but don't tell me that this is news and I'm reading this and this is literally just your opinion on the research that you've done when I could have been doing my actual own research over here in certain cases and not have like a negative tinged effect. I want to stay malleable. And sometimes I feel like think pieces, you know, they deter me from that and I don't like that shit. That's all I have to say, and that is all for me, and that is all for this week's episode, I believe.
Yeah, that's it. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
Not yet. I'm on the brink.
On the brink.
I'm on the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge.
I love the smirk. Mm-hmm. Asante.
I am on the edge, the brink, my damn self. There is something coming. There's a lot of stuff coming for me, but I will be performing soon. I don't have a date yet, but when I have that solidified, I will be sharing that with you all.
I'm so excited
about
this.
So New York, you know, New York is going to be time to play pretty soon.
Save your coins.
It's going to be, and it's going to be really small because that's how I like it. I want it to be something really memorable, and I want it to be something really cool.
Cute.
And
oh, my God.
It's going to be so bomb. Yay. So New York, look out for that.
I don't have any cool news.
I heard you laying low, friend.
I'm
you
laying low.
You gonna lay low.
I'm laying low, taking care of my body, taking care of my home.
Laying
and
low,
just,
build high.
Yeah, making sure that my foundation is strong for what this year is going to be.
Did you get your foundation off the Birch Box? It's going to be strong.
I'm dead. Shameless plug. So that's it for us this week. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. And we love you.
Stay black.
We'll see you guys next week.
And protect your magic.
Bye.
Bye.